about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Wake up!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
It's the Cinder Bouncy Girl that just makes my head on a twirl. Oh, you got me want to tell all them other girls.
And of course, features Dave Grohl on guitar and drums.
I don't know about you, but I was raised not to make fun of the mentally challenged.
What did you do? Just let it go. What did you do? Just let it go. Just let it go.
Really sad. Losing too many people on drugs. I wish people wouldn't take drugs.
And now, I'm on a seafood diet. I see seafood and I eat it. Never mind.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:33. It's Monday, the 24th of February.
What's crack-a-latin?
Well, you know. Hanging and banging. You know, hanging and banging.
Like you do?
Like I do.
Well, welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show. I didn't watch the Daytona 500 over the weekend.
I did not either, as it is but car racing.
Apparently news was made.
Oh.
Because apparently the Daytona International Speedway on Saturday is when the race was, had a band that I am unfamiliar with named Madison Rising doing the national anthem.
Okay.
And it is being called one of the worst of all time.
Awesome.
Now, we always enjoy hearing those. Madison Rising bills itself, Kevin, as America's most patriotic rock band.
Oh, no. So this is their specialty?
Yes, this is their thing. This is what they do. And the lead singer looks very earnest. It's very Creed. The whole thing is very Creed-like, and I'll be playing it for you here in a moment, as much as you can stand. But he has a folded-up American flag that he is clutching against his chest. There's a new album coming out soon called American Hero. This their version of the national anthem is on the album, in addition to America the Beautiful. And they build themselves as America's most patriotic rock band.
Right.
So that, look, I'm not doubting their patriotism. I'm sure they love America. But that has to make their music suck, right?
Oh, I think it's a guarantee.
Because I don't think patriotism lends itself to great music.
You got like two songs. Really?
Well, I mean,
this land is your land, maybe.
But I feel like it's a recipe for oversinging everything.
Sure.
Now, you know how the national anthem always seems like it's 20 minutes long, even when it's a minute and a half?
Yes.
Does it need this much of an intro before it starts? Doesn't this just add to the agony of waiting for them to finish singing so we can get to some car racing?
I don't even recognize it. Oh, there we go.
Can you see?
Now, he's going to make some interesting choices.
By the dawn's early light, what so proudly we
hailed. Now, he doesn't have a terrible voice. I got to give him that.
Yeah. Last
what are you doing there?
Is it just one dude?
No, it's a whole band. He's going to kick in, though.
Through the perilous vines, hold the ramparts we watch.
All right, here comes my favorite part.
What is happening? Is he Neil Diamond?
By the way, I can't tell what the drums are doing. Are the drums playing a completely different song than what the dude is singing?
It sounds like it.
It's like a mess, right?
Yeah, totally.
No bueno. Right? No bueno?
That sounds like one of those one of those keyboards where you just press one key and it plays like the chord. That's terrible.
It is terrible. And it also sounds a little bit like, I think there's a series of albums out where they take pop songs and punk rock them up. They have bands play them like kind of like that.
Yeah, but I've never heard that poor of a translation.
Yes. I was starting to think that maybe only black people should be allowed to sing the national anthem, because when you think back to the great anthems of all time at sporting events, you know, you think of Whitney Houston, obviously. Sure. You think of Alicia Keys. Sure. You think of Marvin Gaye, the famous one from the NBA All-Star Game in the 80s. I guess we'll allow opera singers in, because Renee Fleming killed it at the Super Bowl. She did a great version
sure,
of the
she
Super
was
Bowl.
Fine.
But in general, I think you should be African American if you're going to sing the anthem. I think we're, and you certainly, if you're going to be a white guy,
fewer risks that way?
Yes, if you're going to be a white guy, you can't be in a bad new metal band. I think I'm done with America's most patriotic rock band, Madison Rising.
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm just getting interested. What else do they do? Do they write originals?
Yes, they do. But mostly they have original songs, too. I've not heard them. Their second album is American Hero, the one that's getting ready to come out. But I just tweeted out the video of that if you'd like to see it at Clyde Tumbaugh. But, yeah, the video, I mean.
USA!
It might be Al-Qaeda. That's what I'm saying.
Is that one of those events, too, where there's like 200,000 people?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. In fact, one of the race car drivers afterwards said, I just wish they would sing the damn song. That's my reaction, because somebody asked him about it. That's Brad Keselowski, I guess.
Wow. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Beecho, shall we?
I'm highly disappointed in your efforts here, but I will make it work.
Thank you. Comedian Jim Jefferies will be here.
The best.
One of our favorites, talking about one of our favorite shows coming back. Legit.
Very excited.
Cannot wait. Aziz Ansari will be on the show today.
Legit is taking up the spot where Downton Abbey has been. I feel like they're rough equivalents to one another. Because Downton Abbey ended last night for the season, so thank God Legit's coming back to fill that hole in my life.
They're pretty equal.
Right.
Yeah. Julia Mancuso.
Yes.
Is I saying that right?
That's right.
Mancuso. Olympic medalist, that's all.
Yeah.
Just that.
She's won four, I think, in slalom and alpine skiing. Yeah, she's one of the greats.
Harvey Levin from TMZ. We have Pete Holmes talking about the Pete Holmes show. We have LaQuisha on the program today. Very
fantastic.
Excited about the rich kids of Beverly Hills. And Sir Ben Kingsley.
What?
A lot of talk on Twitter over the weekend if he knew what was happening. Like if his people were really informing him which show he was going on.
Well, and, he clearly doesn't have proper advisors.
Right. The consensus is no. That he'll probably figure it out sometime during the show and cancel. And we would expect that as well. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the showbiz beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
This house was falling apart, but now daddy's home. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hello, boys and girls, children of all ages.
Oh, thank God. We're so happy to see you.
Oh, I heard.
We're so happy to see you.
I got nothing but bat signals all week long from people saying, what's going on over there? Help them. Get back. And I'm like, I can't.
Oh, I think it went well.
We got something going on.
We did the very best we could. And we got, you know, we have to thank the people, you know, the people like Kat and Stryker and, you know, Anel and Brad. People do come in and try to pick up the pieces of the showbiz beat. But there's only so much. We're just one man.
It wasn't nearly the showbiz beat complaints I got nearly as much as it was certain voice bits.
Oh, is that right?
Done. Yeah.
We did one voice bit where Bean had to be about four or five different voices. I think you're going to want to hear that.
Well, I think that you get what you deserve case, right?
He won the competition fair and square before you left, though.
And then someone sent me a message saying, Kevin doesn't know how gravity works. I don't know what that was all about. And
gravity works, what was that?
I don't know. Did you do some story about Kate Upton or something? Were you asking if they turned off gravity
I
for
did.
Her or something?
Oh, yeah, that happened. Yeah. Right, that happened. Like, yeah, I forgot.
What's going on over that there happened. With you people?
But well, that would have happened whether you were here or not.
You people.
We are so happy to see you. Welcome back, Rob.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back. Let's kick off the Monday morning showbiz beat with some tickets, a giveaway for a brand new movie, which looks awesome. Listen to this cast, okay? Edward Norton, Bill Murray, and Owen Wilson. How would you like to see those guys together in a film?
In.
What's that?
In
a movie called The Grand Budapest Hotel.
No, I was saying I'm in when I heard that cast. I'm saying I'm absolutely in. Yeah, it sounds amazing.
Yeah. Looks terrific. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, March the 6th. However, K-Rock's doing an advanced screening on Thursday. I'm sorry, Friday, March the 7th, it'll be in theaters. K-Rock's doing an advanced screening on Thursday, March the 6th at the Landmark Theater in Los Angeles. This looks awesome. If you want to check it out, and why wouldn't you, call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. first five callers through at that number. We've got a pair of passes to the special K-Rock screening of the Grand Budapest Hotel. I'm going to keep saying Budapest.
Why?
Because that's how they pronounce it in Budapest.
But we're not cool.
I know, but it's Budapest.
Okay.
Now you're Arnold.
It's just fun to say it that way.
Budapest.
Even more fun to say it that way. Speaking of movies, we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office from the past weekend on Monday mornings. Here's what did best. Once again, the Lego movie, just a juggernaut, made $31.5 million, making it number one yet again this weekend. Then a pretty good-sized debut for Kevin Costner's 3 Days to Kill, $12.3 million. You know, that might sound disappointing, but in a world where everyone is going to see the Lego movie, they got a big chunk of change in number two slot with the new Costner film. Pompeii, in its debut, made $10 million, made it number three. Then RoboCop and The Monuments Men, rounding out the top five. About Last Night and Ride Along, the two Kevin Hart films, sixth and seventh place, respectively. Frozen, eighth. Endless Love was ninth. And A Winter's Tale, the Colin Farrell love story, number 10 at the box office with a paltry $2.1 million. Mm. People hate love. I've always said
they
that.
They do.
People hate love.
I think that's true.
While we're talking about movies, and especially the Lego movie, Warner Brothers, no surprise here, has announced there will be a Lego movie sequel. Oh, hope it's Duplo. The Further Adventures. Duplo's another building set for kids. Okay. So they just snap things together. Warner's has announced they've got their writers working on a screenplay, and you can look forward to Lego 2 Memorial Day weekend 2017. So get your calendars out and circle
on,
that.
Let me make a note.
Memorial Day weekend 2017
will
be the Lego movie sequel. And since we're talking about further versions of beloved films, how about Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues? Did you see that movie? Did you enjoy that movie?
I did, and I did.
Well, go again this weekend.
And I will.
Because it is a brand new version that opens up this weekend.
Now, they're saying it's only for 1 week. Is that just for marketing, or do you think they're only doing it for 1 week?
This weekend only, as far as I know. Of course, it'll be available on download and DVD, I'm sure, after that. But this weekend, they're re-releasing Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues, but they have replaced nearly all of the jokes. According to creators, 763 jokes will be brand new in that film.
That's a crazy number of jokes to be in two films.
Well, you know, they shoot and they shoot and they shoot on this film. I mean, there was talk at one time of making this film a two-part film, but to Kill Bill it, to do a volume one and volume two, they had so much material.
I can't wait.
So they've gone back and re-edited it to a brand new version. Adam McKay, the director, says the version is much raunchier than the original. If you're a hardcore Anchorman fan, go see this. If you're not, stay very far away, he says. So that's your advice for the weekend.
Bitchin'.
Check out the Anchorman 2 reboot. I don't know if it's ever been done before, where a completely different version of the same film has been released at the same time. Sometimes they'll go back and do a director's cut, and they'll re-release a film that's a classic or something like that, but to have it in the same time frame.
You know what, though? I did notice that the trailer had a bunch of jokes in it, and then you go to the movie, and none of those jokes are in the movie.
Yeah, so apparently they've got a lot of different punchlines and takes maybe in the same scenes.
Fantastic.
That you haven't seen before that you will see. I'm excited forward to it. Today's celebrity birthdays. This is hard to believe.
Okay.
Actor Abe Vigoda.
Is still alive?
who has been the running joke of, you know, about celebrities who have long thought to be dead or are still alive. He's still alive. 93 years old, Abe Vigoda, the actor, who, of course, was Fish on Barney Miller and had his own series.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
In the Godfather movies, I mean, just
was it just last year, Ralph, that they brought him out on stage at a Fish concert? Remember, we saw him in the news; he was doing crazy things
and
like that.
He also did
age?
A commercial for Snickers.
Yes, that's right, with Betty White for the Super Bowl last year. Right. Right, he's been doing like color commentary for poker tournaments constantly. I mean, he's been working forever.
93 years old, 93. He's still got a better career than most of us.
It's crazy.
Edward James Olmos is 67 years old today. Actress Kristen Davis turns 49. Deborah Jo Rupp, remember her as the mom from That 70s Show. She's 63 years old today. Actor Billy Zane from Titanic and The Phantom, 48 years old. Actress Bonnie Somerville, worked with her on NYPD Blue. Very sweet lady, 40 years old today. And Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Oh, he's the best.
He is the sweetest man in boxing. Good man. He is 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Kind of a ridiculous Kevin and Bean show for you today. Olympic medalist Julia Mancuso joins us in moments. Comedian Pete Holmes on the program today. Aziz Ansari, Jim Jeffries, and Harvey Levin. You're not going to even believe this when I tell you who's on the show in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Sir Ben Kingsley. Sir Ben Kingsley joins us.
Wow.
Weird, right?
Now, our show is not qualified to interview Sir Ben Kingsley, is it?
No.
Yeah. That's how we feel. We feel like at some point between now and then, he's going to realize what this is and then cancel.
Or it's just a complete imposter.
Could be.
That's very possible.
It's Sir Ben Kingsley from Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
By the man's Chinese.
I like it.
Exactly. The guy who plays Gandhi down there for change.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Well, Harvey, we always appreciate talking to you on Monday morning. I know we're going to talk about American Idol in just one second, but I can't believe this photograph that you just posted this minute up on TMZ.com of Simon Cowell, ex of American Idol, just basically flying in the face of all good medical wisdom.
Yeah, I mean, I gave him a break on this one because we said it's a 10-day-old baby. He was there yesterday, so a 9-day-old baby. Simon flies the baby to Miami. So, number one, kids are not really supposed to be flying, at least a lot of doctors think, because of the pressure when the plane goes up and down.
Right.
But then also, they're carrying the kid around. The kid's laying out in the sand with them. Now, the problem there is that kids aren't supposed to get sunlight, but a lot of doctors say you're not supposed to put sunscreen on a kid for the first 6 months. So they advise keeping him out of the sun.
He did. My whole life, Harvey, I've never seen an infant on a beach. It just seems
nine days old.
Yeah, that seems super dangerous. I mean, I can't even imagine what the sun feels like on that poor little kid's head.
And we're about to put some more pictures up. I mean, the dog's licking the baby's face.
Sweet. It's like somebody went to Simon and said, "Be the worst dad possible."
It's really weird. Although it's funny. I'm looking at the website, and about a third of the people say, "Relax, it's fine," which is interesting so far.
Okay. All right. Well, I mentioned American Idol, and it's been a long time since we've talked to you about anything having to do with Idol. The thing just seems to be on cruise control, and it's not what it once was, but it's still one of the most popular shows on TV. You kind of had a shocking story that you posted this morning. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, I had been working on this over the weekend. They are going to lose money this season, which is the first time they've ever lost money. But it is pretty shocking because, remember, the show has made billions of dollars.
But wait, this sounds like those, some sports franchises that say they always lose money.
No, and I'll tell you why. Here's the deal. Number one, they're down 26% from last year. And remember, last year down before the year before. But this year, just alone, down 26%. That translates into ad revenue. Number two, they're spending a fortune. Both Ryan and Jennifer Lopez are both making north of $15 million a year each.
Wow.
They spend $5 to $7 million on a new set. They're spending at least $5 million on these phone calls. They're still paying off Nigel Lithgow and Ken Warwick, the two executive producers they fired at the end of last season. And when you start adding all of this stuff up, what we're told is they are going to lose money for the first time. Now, that said, you're right. This is one of the most successful shows in history, and it will come back, I'm told, next year, no matter what, because they canceled X Factor and there'd be too many holes in the schedule.
Right.
But when it comes back, they're going to have to do some extreme cost cutting.
So Danny Bonaducci will be one of the judges. It's going to be that sort of thing.
And Screech.
That's so sad that that's the celebrity that I thought of. When you say phone calls, do they pay when people call to vote? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, there's a fee that they have to absorb. I didn't know that either until this weekend.
But I thought they made money with that.
Yeah, I did too, but there's a fee they have to absorb on this thing. And when you add it all together, what I'm told is, now, what they can do, see, when you don't hit a certain number, the advertisers don't have to pay the rate that they agreed to. If they've been paid the money already, they don't have to give it back, but next season they have to, it's called a make good.
Okay.
So next season, essentially, the advertisers get free ads, and that means it's kind of all deferred for a year, at least in part, but it's still considered a loss. And what I'm told by multiple people now with that production, that this will be a money-losing year.
That's really interesting.
It's insanely expensive to produce right now.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it is.
You could cut 15 mil of that immediately and it would be fine.
And I'm
You're talking about Ryan?
Ryan Seacrest. Yes.
Bring back Dunkelman. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yep.
I'm not going to get into it.
No, listen. I'm serious. I don't think he adds much to the
show. Who are you going to put in?
Anyone.
Dunkelman. You bring back Dunkelman, Harvey. Come on. It's obvious.
Bring Dunkelman back.
One other thing on Idol that's worth mentioning, though, and I don't know if this directly translates to the value of the show, but, I mean, it's because of the ratings, it's still a pretty good launch pad. It's a good setup for shows that follow Idol. They are benefiting still from having it on the schedule because of that, because it does bring a lot more people to the network, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not an unsuccessful show. It's just that it's very, very expensive right now. And look, they're in the business of making money.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, at a point you have to look. I mean, when, you know, if a show gets a certain rating and it's cheap to do, that's considered a successful show. If another show gets the same rating and it's insanely expensive, it's a loser. So, you know, it's all relative to the amount of money you're spending.
That does make sense, because we do see really popular shows, like when Frasier went off the air. They said the show was still doing great, but they had been around for so long and everybody was making so much money, from the stars to the producers and everything else, that eventually it just cost too much to make. So that makes sense.
And when Idol started to falter, especially last year, they decided to just pour money into it, which is why, you know, bringing Jennifer Lopez back and paying her what they paid her.
Right.
And then building a new set. You know, it's funny, they built this new set. There's this old line, I don't even remember who said it, but somebody was talking about that when you walk out of a Broadway play, nobody ever sang the set.
Yeah. You're right. True. All right, in our remaining 2 minutes with the great Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the phone, let's just real quick, let's talk about some legal play going on with the Justin Bieber camp. He was offered a plea deal to kind of wash away what the trouble he got into down in Florida, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, the prosecutor in the case has offered him, for the DUI case, they'll reduce it to reckless driving. But the thing is, we know the defense is going to reject this thing. And the reason is, two words, Lindsay Lohan. There are strings attached. And one of the strings is that he has to submit to random drug testing for 6 to 9 months. They are not going to let him do that. They do not want any strings attached to this sentence. And they will not accept any plea, which means that theoretically this whole thing could go to trial.
Love it.
If they can't come to an agreement. And frankly, I got to say, this is not a bad case for Justin Bieber, because there are problems with this case. I mean, the arresting officer saying he smelled alcohol, and Justin had a .014, which is next to nothing. You know, saying that he was drag racing and he was going 27 miles an hour. They got problems with this case.
Yep. Well, I'm just sad if it goes to court, we're going to have to see Justin Bieber crawling out on top of the roof of a van every day.
Right,
at the end
right.
of the, I don't want that.
Guys, do you remember? We actually put a picture up where we did a side-by-side with Michael Jackson,
yep.
where he did that after an appearance, and it was like, oh my God, look at that.
Yeah. Yep. Interesting. Well, I know you're keeping tabs on that in the TMZ newsroom. We'll let you get to your meeting. TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday afternoons at 4 on Fox, then the original TMZ show at 6, and then, of course, don't miss the all-new TMZ Sports airing weekends at midnight on the Fox Network. That's Channel 11 in L.A. Thanks, Harvey. Have a great week, my friend.
You too, guys. See ya.
A lot of good new songs coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show lately. That one is one of them, American Authors, Best Day of My Life. They're going to be in the Red Bull Sound Space coming up on March the 5th. You can win your way into that at krock.com. And in a few minutes, we're going to be playing the Fantagram song called Fall in Love that we all love so much from their new album called Voices. They're going to be in the Red Bull Sound Space at 2 this afternoon.
All right.
At krock.com. So you can watch them live for free at krock.com at 2, and then we stream that for 24 full hours. The band Fantagram out of New York. That is an awesome band and an awesome album, and you ought to check it out. Well, Kevin, neither one of us are in good enough shape to read either Health Magazine or Outside Magazine. In fact, I think that they would reject us at the newsstand if we tried to buy a copy. They would say, no, you're too fat. But if we were to buy either of those, we would see on the cover the same smiling face. She is Olympian Julia Mancuso, just back from Sochi in Russia, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Julia. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Now, you came back a little bit early. I saw you on the TV on one of the talk shows on Friday, so you skipped the hell out of Russia once you were done, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I was there for a long time. I was there since the 4th, so before opening ceremonies.
That is a long time.
And I would imagine if this were your first Olympics, you probably would have wanted to stick around for the closing ceremonies, but you kind of been there, done that, right?
Yeah, it's nice. Well, actually, our team kicks us out. They're like, we're all about business, and you are done with your event. You have to leave.
Oh, they don't want people sitting around partying, I imagine, right?
No, we've had a bad experience with that in the past.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's talk about Sochi for a minute, because I know that, you know, particularly in your events in the Alpine and the slalom and everything, you got the wettest snow you've probably had to ski on in a long time. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, the snow was okay. We normally get those conditions in the spring, so it was kind of early for those, you know, spring and slushy conditions, but I was actually really surprised. Our events went off kind of seamlessly, and it was good. It was still fast.
It seemed like there were a lot of complaints about the conditions, from the half pipe to a bunch of different, like, they were really trying to just barely hold it together with duct tape.
Yeah, I mean, our venue was just up a little tiny bit higher, and so we only had problems with the very last part of our course, where their event started just kind of where the end of our event was.
Oh, I see.
So we got a little luckier.
Well, I mean, look, it's hardly Russia's fault if it's too warm. I mean, that was unseasonably warm weather. It got, I mean, you were standing around in 60 degrees sometimes, right, Julia?
Was nice. It was kind of like skiing in California.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is sort of their fault in that, you know, Southern California doesn't host the Winter Olympics because it's a little
warm
and you got to drive 45 minutes to get to the, to, you know, to bad snow.
Now, I want to ask you about this, because I read a lot of what Bill Plachke, the great writer for the Los Angeles Times, was over there in Sochi the whole time, and he ended up, his final article yesterday said that he's covered 9 Olympics, and this one was the best in terms of how smooth it ran, and how and what good shape the venues were in, the buses were on time. He said there were no problems anywhere in this Olympics. It was so smooth for him as a media member. How about for you as an athlete?
Well, I mean, the transportation wasn't super reliable. That's the only thing. And a lot of the volunteers, there were so many volunteers, but nobody really could tell you exactly where to go.
Right.
But, I mean, the venue, there was a train. We were able to take the train down to go to hockey games from the mountains, and that was super easy. And we don't normally get to do that. We only get to go to the other events at the very end when we're finished, because it's so far between venues. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty amazing, the job that they did. It was impressive, and I think the really only thing that wasn't finished were hotel rooms.
Yeah. You know, I pictured you in a hotel room waking up in the morning and Vladimir Putin standing there looking at you. Like, he seemed to be everywhere and a little weird.
It was everywhere. It was funny. My sisters were down at the USA house, and just for Valentine's Day, and they sent pictures. Putin in the house!
What? And nobody parties less than that guy, right? I mean, he just sits there and he looks the same.
With a scowl on his face.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah, the pictures they sent me was the same look. No different. Not even fazed by my sister's cell phone in his face.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. This is the voice of Olympian Julia Mancuso here on the Kevin Amin Show. She, of course, a gold medalist in Turin. She won 2 silvers in Vancouver and added another medal to the count with a bronze just last week in Sochi. I feel so bad for athletes like you who have had such an unbelievable career, 3 Olympics, 3 different medals. And the minute you get done, Julia, people come up and are in your face asking you about 2018. Like, you don't even get a minute to breathe and enjoy it, do you?
I mean, it's kind of a full-time job, but it's fun. I love competing, and it makes me really excited about the next Olympics, just going to these ones. I was not sure I would continue another 4 years, but I'm pretty inspired, and I definitely want to be a part of it if I can.
So before these current Olympics, you were thinking, I'm not sure if I want to continue. Now, after your experience, you're like, I'll do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of... It's so much fun, and it's so great to go there and be inspired and watch all the different athletes. And it's really great. The Olympics are a really cool thing.
Tell us, if you can, as much as you can, about Olympic Village. That, to us, just, we're fascinated with that whole lifestyle. It seems like there's so many people not competing on that day or whatever, in close proximity with other people. It just seems like a party.
It is. It's actually kind of fun walking around and seeing. You think that everyone's not as serious. They're like, what's going on? I mean, alpine skiing is definitely unique. We have events the whole time.
Right.
Starting from the very beginning to the end, so there's not really any time to relax. But there's definitely that aspect of the Olympics where there's just those countries that are there to participate, and they're having a lot of fun. They're living it up.
What Julia's trying to tell us is she doesn't have Tinder on her phone. I mean, that's the takeaway here, I think. Hey, I want to ask you about one more thing, Julia, and that is I couldn't believe how awesome the photos you posted were of you surfing in the Black Sea. Now, did you go with our friend Sal Mascella?
Yeah, I went with Sal. I've been friends with Sal for a while, so I was really fortunate to have perfect timing, and I got a text from him saying, "We're doing it. We're going surfing tomorrow." And we've made it. We got waves. It was incredible.
Now, again, I'd like to suggest that's a poor place for a Winter Olympics if you can
if you can go surfing.
Well, it was cold, I'll tell you that much. I wouldn't say that was any sort of summer surfing.
All right.
That must have been so much fun, though. I mean, I bet you've had so many instances in your life because of the job that you have, Julia, where you've just paused for a moment and said, "I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm surfing the Black Sea right now."
Yeah, that was definitely a moment. And especially, but, you know, winning a medal at the very beginning was awesome, but that also meant I was followed by more events that had disappointments.
Right.
So by surfing the Black Sea kind of brought it all together. This is what it's about. It's about the experience in life and getting to do these incredible things. And it was really cool.
Tell us about the Russian people.
Well, they were really nice. I was surprised. I mean,
did you expect hostility or did you just not know what to expect?
Well, we were there 2 years ago for a chess event and, you know, practicing on the Olympic slopes and stuff. And it was crazy. You had to walk everywhere with your identification out. It was a bunch of police and they were very stern looking and, you know, no smiles anywhere.
Right.
So I was surprised to see there was actually a real functioning mountain village this time. It wasn't so cold. Everyone was really friendly and was excited to be a part of it. And so, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I was impressed by the people. They were really sweet.
Well, it's nice to know that the Cold War may have thawed to the point where Russians and Americans don't automatically dislike and distrust each other just because they're in the same place at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, like, you're not going to get the same treatment when you're waving the American flag, which kind of sucks.
Right.
At first, like, it was definitely dependent on where you were. Some groups of people were not happy. It was, reminded me of being in France, you know? If you're speaking English, they just, like,
yeah,
even though they speak perfect English, they will just...
Yes.
Speak right back at you as fast as they can in Russian, but you don't understand.
Yep, great point.
Well, you can read much more about Julia on the cover of the new Health magazine and also Outside magazine. She also has a terrific feature in the current February issue of GQ where she talks about and shows off her lucky underwear, and I definitely urge people to check that out. Julia Mancuso, she is an Olympic alpine ski racer, just won a bronze in Sochi. Congratulations on behalf of a grateful nation, Julia, and thanks so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, thank you.
106.7 K-Rock.
Oh, that's the good one right there. That note.
Sorry, I apologize.
The whole song worthwhile.
Oh, I ruined it
for you. Yeah,
you
ruined it.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Now we got to start it over.
All right, start it one more time. Play that one more time.
Ralph, we did not stop playing the Red Hot Chili Peppers while you were gone last week.
Oh, I thought maybe you had, and then you just brought them back for me, because you know what a huge fan I am.
You're a huge fan.
I just want you to live under a bridge.
They are still a consistent part of the rotation here at the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, next hour, we're going to give away that trip to Dublin, Ireland to see the Arctic Monkeys. We'll make that grand prize drawing. And we'll also get you qualified later this morning for the Black Keys in the Swiss Alps. That's destination number 4, the K-Rock World Tour 2014. We're sending you some good places and some good people. Rob is here. He is back. It is time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday.
Why the keys got to be black, man? Why are you going to be so racist? I see that hasn't changed since I left either.
That's really their name.
Yeah, so a couple black guys put a band together, and all of a sudden you guys start slapping labels on them.
No, neither of them are black.
What?
No. Two white guys.
I've never been more confused.
Yeah.
And the next thing you're going to tell me, the Arctic Monkeys aren't monkeys.
Well, that's accurate as well.
Oh, yeah. Like a monkey. This show is nothing but lies. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Lego Movie continues to make a gajillion dollars. 31.5 additional million dollars are made this weekend at the box office. To make it number one, 3 Days to Kill, the new Costner film. In its debut, made $12.3 million. I did not get a chance to see that this weekend, although I wanted to. Kevin, did you go?
I didn't get a chance to see anything this week.
What the what? I know you were looking forward to that.
Yeah, I wanted to see that. I wanted to see Pompeii as well.
Pompeii was third with $10 million.
No time.
RoboCop, $9.4 million, made it number four. The Monuments Men was fifth. Then About Last Night and Ride Along, the Kevin Hart films, back-to-back, sixth and seventh. Frozen, Endless Love, and A Winter's Tale, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, you know, the Academy Awards are coming up right around the corner on March 3rd. And I know you're probably saying to yourself, oh, how am I ever going to see all the movies that are nominated for Best Motion Picture? Here's your answer. Thought this was pretty cool. Up at Universal City Walk,
mm-hmm.
the AMC Theater up there is going to be doing a two-day marathon of all 9 Best Motion Picture Oscar nominees.
So you can
Saturday, February the 22nd, and Saturday, March the 1st. So you can see them all. You start at noon on Saturday, February the 22nd.
That was 2 days ago, if
that
I'm
was,
not mistaken.
That would be 2 days ago.
Okay.
They had Philomena, Dallas Buyers Club, Wolf of Wall Street, and 12 Years a Slave. And then next Saturday on March 1st, which is something you can actually go to, was Nebraska, Captain Phillips, Her, American Hustle, and Gravity in 3D.
That's a lot of movies in one day.
Yeah. So, but that's one location. If you want to, if you want to hit them all, they're making it easy for you. Just kind of cool. And since we're talking about movies, tragic news for people who liked guys who talked like this.
What happened?
Movie phone. It's hanging it up, man. After all these years, no more movie phone. You can't call up movie phone and find out what's going on at 777-FILM. You can't say, hello, and welcome to movie phone. You won't get to hear that anymore.
Our friend Russ Leatherman, who filled in for you Friday.
Yeah, he's a dick.
He's not a dick. He's an awesome dude.
He's
but
a massive tool.
He wisely doesn't like you, but he's otherwise a very nice guy. He still has been doing the voice of that phone thing, even though he's not with the company anymore. I think he still records the thing you get when you call in.
Okay, but it's going away. What do you want from me?
He's not.
I'm just surprised to hear this.
But,
tell me more.
Good. I'm glad there's one less place we'll hear him because he's a dick.
He's not a dick.
He's a massive tool.
He's a good dude.
He is a massive tool.
I don't know what you're basing that on.
Because one time I was doing the Mr. Movie Phone impression, and he comes in all pissed off at me, but for no reason. I don't know what's going on.
He was upset at your impression?
I guess because I was doing the voice. Like 900 billion other people have done the voice.
Right.
And he stands in front of me and goes, what's the matter? You don't like me because I have $700 million? I was like, really?
Wow.
You're going to come in and drop the net worth bomb? That's how you're going to come at me? So F Mr. Movie Phone.
Could it have just been a misunderstanding? Because I know Russ, and I'm telling you, he's a good guy.
He's a dick.
Good guy. Nice fan.
Second of all, I don't care what you know or don't know about him. He was a dick.
All right, it sounds like that one exchange between you did not go great.
Who does that? Who counters anything with their net worth? Who uses that in a conversation except for a giant rich tool?
Well, I wasn't there. I don't know what the complete context was or how it was presented.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war.
Yeah, this.
Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. It's going down. Race war. Come on. Race war.
You have a problem with me because I have $700 million.
He did strangely call himself Movie Man. Didn't he, Bean, on Friday?
Yes, he had to change his name. He's no longer associated with Movie Phone, so he can't be Mr. Movie Phone anymore. So now he's the Movie Man.
Right. Anyway, if you want to find out what's going on, you can still use their app, of course. That will live on. But the phone number will no longer be in service. So
I just use I use the website all the time. That's how I find.
Yeah, sure, for tons of movies that you go constantly. You're always out there. You must need a constant update on what's playing in a theater near you because you're always going out to the movies. Why don't
like
you and
six
your
or
tool
seven
friend, Mr. Movie Phone, get together and just mind your own beeswax? You
can press one if you're jealous of how much money I have.
Mr., I own 5 homes, and Mr. $700 million can get together, and you can play Tiddlywinks over there on the Cracker Barrel by the
general
store.
I feel like you had a bad impression of him. Like, maybe that was a weak moment.
Or
I do too.
Maybe he's
a misunderstanding.
Dick. Or he's a dick. Those are the options.
Look, we don't know. But let me ask you this.
I've met plenty of rich people. No one has ever dropped their net worth on me in a conversation
before.
Let me ask
you this.
Only
this is a legitimate question. Is it possible there are people who have had one encounter with you and their total impression of you based on that one encounter is that you're a dick?
Of course, sure. It's
and
possible.
It doesn't make you a dick. It just means that it was one situation with one conversation with one person one day.
You know, I take it back. I doubt there's anybody who's had one conversation with me who thinks I'm a dick. People have had plenty of conversations with me, maybe think I'm a dick, but not the one. Anyway, movie phone's going away, and I hope everyone involved with that project eventually goes away as well. And by go away, I mean, you know, die.
I like Russ.
He's a good man.
Good man. Nice guy. Nice guy. Ask him about his net worth. I'm sure he'll be willing to have a conversation with you about it.
You don't like me because I have $700 million?
Yeah, that's why I don't like you.
Is Don on the phone?
Get Don on the phone. Today's celebrity birthday is Abe Vigoda, 93 years old today. Oh, Abe. Abe will live forever. I'm firmly convinced now. We've been talking about him being dead for 20 years, and he just keeps on going.
Him and Zsa Zsa Gabor are the two mysteries of humanity and, yeah, and how long people live, right?
But she's just now in like a glass case now with just oxygen being pumped into it and plasma. She's barely a human being. Abe's like out there doing stuff. God bless him. Edward James Olmos is 67 years old today. Deborah Jo Ruff is 63. Kristen Davis turns 49. Billy Zane. I like him. Talented guy. Never once dropped his net worth on me, I'll tell you that much. Had several conversations with Billy. He never said, you know how much money I have in the bank? He never once said that. I was in Titanic. He never brought that up. 48 years old today. Bonnie Somerville, very talented and lovely actress. She's 40 years old. Floyd Mayweather Jr. Just the very name just raises the hair on the back of my tail.
You don't have a tail.
Oh, I'm getting a tail and I'm going to have my hair raised. He is 37 years old today. He'd be great fight if he was 73.
Sure would be.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Fantagram on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 10 minutes after 7 o'clock.
And once again, they're going to be in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock this afternoon at 2 o'clock. You get a chance to see that man performing live at K-Rock.com. And then if you can't watch it live right at 2, they do run it for 24 hours. Hey, we're going to make it weird here with comedian, actor... Is he an actor? I guess he is sort of an actor. Talk show host Pete Holmes joins us later in the hour. Aziz Ansari on the program this morning. Jim Jeffries, too. And Sir Ben Kingsley, Gandhi himself, and the Mandarin will be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour.
Hasn't canceled yet. We're surprised by that. If I'm him, I'm canceling. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. All right. Think you're looking at the rundown of what shows you're doing, and you're going, all right, the Today Show, yes. CBS This Morning, yes. Kevin and Bean, what the?
Right,
and then I think you just scratch that one right out.
All right, let's talk about Vladimir Putin. Let's talk to Vladimir Putin, actually, about the Olympics, which are just wrapped up last night. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Well, we're fine. Congratulations, first of all, on a successful terrorist-free Olympics. I'm sure you're very, very pleased.
Huge success. Everyone very happy with the Olympics. The remarkable Russian people made it wonderful, and everyone there. No complaints. Everyone's very happy.
Well, I don't know about no complaints, but do you think it was worth...
No complaints!
What?
I said no complaints!
Okay, no complaints. There were no complaints.
That's right, no complaints.
All right.
Did you feel like it was worth the $51 billion it cost you to put on the games?
Every ruble of it. It's right there up on the screen. You know what I'm saying? It's just a remarkable success. All the money well spent. The money that was spent... some of the money ended up in a suitcase in my room. I don't know how it happened.
Oh, is that right? How much of it?
None of your goddamn business.
Now, how does it work in Russia? And I don't mean this in an indelicate way, but I noticed that the Russian hockey team, I did not see them at the closing ceremonies last night, and I was wondering if they are still being dealt with as a result of not winning the gold.
They're being interviewed.
Interviewed?
Yes. In the... place they like ice. They're hockey players,
right?
So it's a place in Siberia for them.
Oh, I see.
Being interviewed about the lack of success they had during the Olympics.
You did say at one point the only gold medal that really mattered was hockey.
It was very important for us winning gold medal hockey. Yes.
How'd that go?
It was not the end result we're hoping for.
Right.
Right, yes.
So they need some more motivation, I think, to play better.
Motivation. So
they'll be motivated severely, rectally.
Oh, wow. I like the sound of that.
Prod with electric cattle prod.
Understood. Yeah,
motivational center of Siberia.
Okay.
Gotcha. And that's the hyena.
You're not
was that another
dogs?
Yes, dogs still running around.
You don't need to shoot them now, though.
President Putin, that's terrible.
That was left-handed. That was remarkable, I did. So I'm thinking Olympics every year, Russia. What you say? Every time. Well, first, every 4 years.
Every 4 years.
Come back, do.
I think the next Winter Olympics are already scheduled for South Korea.
Yeah, but who wants really to go there?
Well, I think a lot of people.
Wait a minute. Winter Olympics, South Korea?
I think so.
Yes.
Do they have good winters in South Korea?
I mean, it may not be 60 degrees like it was in Sochi, but I think they can get it done.
You talk pretty big for a man who's not in front of me. Hold on.
That's
a second.
Why.
What was that, President Putin?
Shirt was too confining. Oh, bear is coming. What?
Are you wrestling a bear?
Strong like bull. That's right. Go to sleep, bear.
You just killed a bear right there on the phone?
With my bare hands.
Hey, President Putin, I'm curious about this. Why is it you scowl throughout the entire Olympics? Every time they would show you in the stands, you would just have a look on your face like you were in detention.
Anal fissures.
Oh wow. Yeah. Too much information.
Well, wow. Don't ask questions don't want to answer for. Okay.
I didn't realize that was the deal. Stop shooting dogs.
Okay, that was back over my shoulder. That was a good shot.
So how many people just assumed your show had been canceled, Pete, because you haven't been on for so long?
Just my parents. Parents, my close friends, high school friends, my enemies, threatening, celebrating.
Sure. Our viewers.
A lot of the viewers. We've lost all our viewership. We're starting from scratch, basically.
The Pete Holmes Show returns tonight at midnight on TBS, and you've been gone since what? Like Christmas, right?
I don't even know. I exist outside of space and time, Bean. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. I'm not here to live by your calendar imposed upon us by slowly rotating planets.
Yeah.
I'm outside of those dimensions.
You're not, though.
I'm not at all.
Not at all, no. Nope. In reality, you've been off for about 3 months.
Is that it?
Just about, yeah.
You know, it's funny because, like, you do, I'm sure you're the same way with this show. You get into a zone and, like, you're off and then you're off. It's just an off time.
Uh-huh.
And I knew it was months, but I couldn't have told you that it was 3 months.
Okay.
And I will say that it's wonderful to be coming back. It's a strange, how are you guys when you're off? What is it like when you're off?
We're very different. We're very different. I am not in contact with anybody on the show. I don't read email.
Yeah.
Most of the time I don't do Twitter. I just disappear.
But do you enjoy? I'm sure you enjoy it.
I love it.
But also you must have a slight ache to be back on the show.
As the vacation goes along and as you see stuff that you find funny, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you want to get back.
And that's exactly how I feel, because I feel like I work in a magical chocolate factory where if we see something that we like or that is really entertaining or really funny, we get to make it immediately.
Right.
So it's hard from going from the first run of 28 shows to a 3 month break. Although that we did use a month of that to like, you know, stack stuff up and write sketches and stuff. So,
That's good.
I think people will benefit from our time away.
Now, Pete, we live in a 24-hour, especially internet universe, where content never stops being produced. And so, I'm a guy who has a lot. I'm not as good as Kevin is at shutting down and missing things because I like to stay current.
Yeah.
And even when I'm on vacation, and you know, a couple times a year we get a 2 week vacation, and that's nice. Mm. But I always feel like there's no way I can turn it off because I'll miss too much. And then I won't know what people are talking about when I come back because I will have not seen the thing.
That
you know?
Is Bean's biggest fear in life.
It's not being left out.
It's just he doesn't know.
You didn't hear about Bieber's meltdown?
Correct.
He'd rather be hanging from a cliff. You know what's funny is one of the reasons I love doing a non-topical show, we are on every day. So we can do some topical stuff if we want to, but that's not really in my wheelhouse of interest. I'm more in your world, Kevin, where I don't really care.
Right.
I don't really care.
Right.
It's just kind of stuff to talk about. It's a nice thing to like
it's
feed
fun.
The fire, and it is fun.
Yeah.
But it's not like my genuine interest. Like, ooh, who said something on Twitter that was bad? Like, I was just looking at the Facebook. Ooh, someone had a meltdown on Twitter. Who cares? Who is this person? I don't know why I'm turning into Seinfeld. Who cares? Who cares? My meltdown? Melt up! It's not my natural instinct. So that's why I love doing a show where we can do a monologue about, like, like how I am in a relationship or how I see people, weird couples, or whatever we want to talk about or do.
Or going to see Enrique Iglesias in concert.
Exactly. If that's what's on my mind, I've always envied those shows like Ellen. I know Ellen's a daytime show.
Right.
Where she just goes in and does a monologue about whatever she wants to talk about. Kevin and I are both wearing hoodies. If we want to talk about hoodies, we can do the hoodie monologue.
Right, but no one would listen.
So, Pete, let me ask you this.
I told you we're starting from nothing. We need help. The hoodie monologue is going to be hot.
Was that a selling point to TBS to get your show on the air because it wasn't going to be topical? Or is that something you had to fight them on and overcome and get them to trust you and let you do it your way?
You know, it's actually been beneficial for both parties. I always wanted to do a non-topical show just because I feel like so many people – like. I'm not putting it down. I always want to be very careful that I'm a fan of late night, but I don't think there's a need because so many people are doing it so well for another one.
Right.
We get that a lot. It's like, why have another one? Because there aren't that many people doing weird monologues about their fault and their divorce. That was one of my favorite monologues was I was like, yeah, it was kind of like a weird baby man. And we talked about that and it was interesting. Like, remember when Ferguson went on and he talked about why we shouldn't make fun of Britney Spears? It was years ago.
Yeah.
But he did this really heartfelt monologue. I was like, now that was very profound. I'm not saying we're profound. Every time, but what if we just did something that was a little bit more heartfelt, a little bit
but
more personal?
But in retrospect, he was wrong, right?
Because we should.
Yes.
We definitely
That's
should.
My
You're
point.
Listening to Kevin and Bean in the Morning on K-Rock. What's up with the latest meltdown? No, it's true. There is some fun to that for sure. But then the other reason to answer your question, Bean, is that like it works out for TBS. First of all, TBS and Conan specifically have been very, very supportive of whatever we want to do. But also we get to stockpile episodes. Like we've taped six episodes, already. So we can kind of get them going. And that's why we have a higher sketch content. That's why we have a little bit more production in some of those areas. Because we can put them and work on them and edit them a little bit longer than your typical or traditional late night show, which is filming in the morning, not throwing it together in a bad way, but really frantically scrambling to get it on that night.
I agree with everything you're saying, Mr. Pete Holmes. Oh. And let me also add this, and I'm glad you brought up Craig Ferguson because I think he's one of the most talented people on television.
Yeah, he's
and
great.
He has left out a lot of the conversations. We spend so much time talking about the Jimmys and talking about, you know, Dave and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that a lot of people, and this is one of the reasons why I like your show, a lot of people aren't looking for somebody who's thoughtful or deep. They're just looking for somebody who's skimming the surface of the day and boom, 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 boom. And it's so rare to see people like you talk about real stuff or Craig Ferguson talk about real stuff. It's very refreshing.
I'm so happy to hear you say that. Thank you, Bean. And also, I think that people are a little bit hungry for it. I think we're hungry for a lot of different things in this culture right now. Community, connection, obviously we see that online. And then I think when we start seeing stuff that is a little bit deeper, like even just watching something like True Detective, like people love stuff that isn't as brainless as maybe. And brainless I don't mean as a bad thing. When you're talking about skimming, when I get home, I'm exhausted. We taped 3 episodes in a day. I don't necessarily want to be challenged. But so we try and hit the balance between something silly that's light, that's fun to watch before you go to bed or whatever, and also something that might have, dare I say, a takeaway, like a little lesson where you're like, oh, that made sense to me or that was interesting to me. Kind of like we're still talking about that Ferguson monologue that he did.
And that's kind of why I think some of these podcasts, like Mark Maron's is one great example, are so successful, is because people want to spend time with somebody who sounds like an interesting person who is giving the world some thought.
To get those stories out of them. I mean, like I'm trying to capture the podcast feel in a late night show. One of the reasons I have a show is because I had a podcast that I'm very open about ripped off, Maron. It's the same thing. It's two comedians talking, getting deep and that sort of stuff. So one of the things that we're doing with this run of shows is we're having more interviews that aren't in front of an audience. We play them for an audience, so there's laughs and stuff. But we recorded them sometimes 45 minutes, just me and a guest in a room, in our little interview room, and we get more of a podcast feel. TJ Miller was on. And we ended up talking about like having over-loving mothers that are like that creep us out and are completely weird and inappropriate. And that's just not the sort of conversation that you can necessarily have, or you have to be pretty skilled to get that out of somebody live. And I don't even know what a live audience would want with that. They'd be like, there's no noise to make. We've got and yeah. And you don't know when you're like, I think my mom wants to date me. People are like, and then a light applause in the back. So we're trying to take that mentality. When we had Allison Williams on the show, from Girls, she was a wonderful example, and that's why TBS was like, I think that might be more your speed. We're still going to do in-studio interviews, but we're also going to have people coming on and kind of opening up more.
Right. Let me ask you one question before we have to take a break. With Pete Holmes here, we're talking about the return of his show at midnight on TBS. That's going to be tonight. He is back after Conan. Allison Williams, did you ask her... Has this one aired yet, by the way?
It aired, yeah. That was on the first run, yeah.
Didn't see it. Darn it.
But it could have been edited out.
Did you ask her why we have to see Lena Dunham's boobs every episode of Girls, yet she has sex with her bra on the show?
Well, she doesn't want to do nudes. Nudes? It's so creepy to be talking about this. Just a bunch of fellas discussing the decisions of young ladies.
Well, she's wrong, though. That's my point.
Well, she is gorgeous. I'm a fan of Lena Dunham's body. I enjoy her body.
Nope. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
I'm into it. Lena!
That baby face comedian Pete Holmes in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I got one of them baby faces.
He, of course, is on the show on TBS called The Pete Holmes Show. Spent so much money and market research coming up with that.
It airs
after Conan at midnight on TBS. He is returning tonight. By the way, you're a very good interviewer, Pete, as you know, obviously.
Well, thank you.
What advice would you give us, guys who are going to be interviewing Sir Ben Kingsley in about 25 minutes?
No way.
Well, unless he realizes who we are and then cancels. He's scheduled.
Unless he hears that Pete Holmes is opening for him and he cancels.
I can't follow that.
He's scheduled just after 8 and we...
There are some people that we're...
That's incredible.
Of course we want to talk to him, but we're terrified because, I don't know, I just feel like...
Well, when you get to that point, you got to wonder if, like, he has handlers that I would be hesitant to interview someone like Ben Kingsley, even though I think it would be great, because I want to talk about, like, the first thing you masturbated to. You know what I mean?
Right. And that may be a mistake to lead with that.
Sir Kingsley, was it the Sears catalog? Be honest. Uh-huh.
I'm going to write that down, but probably won't use it.
If you do ask him, that's going to go nuts. People are going to love that sort
okay.
of thing.
Okay.
The only thing I've learned...
Take your word on that.
With Sir Kingsley. The only thing I know about interviewing is that if you want someone to share something about their life, you have to say something worse about yours first.
Okay.
And that's the only thing I have.
All right.
Are you no longer humiliated by the stories that you tell about yourself and your own failures and foibles?
Yeah, that's a great... I was taping an episode the other day and I said, welcome back to Confidently Vulnerable with Pete Holmes. I think that would have been a better name for the whole show. I mean, sometimes, yeah, I do wake up and I'm like, what am I doing? Speaking of the Sears catalog, we really were talking about that recently, and I was like, oh yeah, I used to like the nursing bras because it looked like they were taking them off. I know, this is weird. That's uncomfortable to tell a lot of people. And we do it on the show too. And it's funny in the moment. You know, Freud said the only way to be like mentally sound is to have no secrets. So I actually think there is something like liberating about it. But don't get me wrong. There's also a huge part of my life where I'm like, what am I doing?
Right.
Like a lot of people know the name of the guy that my wife cheated on me with, which is Rocco, which is the funniest name.
Sure.
And people know that. Like, so my fans will come up and they'll be like, hey, Rocco! And
nice.
Like, it's a bizarre reality. But that's what I'm talking about. Is like, I don't want to neuter myself into some sort of TV personality. I want to remain a guy who's like, I'm a three-dimensional person. I've made mistakes. We do weird things. We have weird thoughts. We have weird feelings, weird impulses. I don't like the shimmer, sheen, perfect twinkle in your eye where you're just like introducing guests. It's like, what if we upload the whole person? And what if we talk about the Sears catalog, nursing bra, and other funny examples to the point where our audience starts to feel that sort of connection with a host in like kind of a real way. And then our guests start to feel open like this. We almost like look at it like a Stern sort of vibe where it's like it's a friendly Stern. They come on and they share those types of thoughts
right.
that maybe they wouldn't have otherwise because they know they're in a safe place. Whatever they say won't be as bad as what I said.
Speaking of guests, Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
You interviewed her before this weekend?
Yes.
And how was she?
See, that was kind of like a Sterny thing.
Her.
She was so great.
Yeah.
She was so great. So lovely. So,
yes.
So beautiful. I said to her, I was
beautiful
like,
and great smile and
right?
great sense of humor. And
she
then you
like,
see her in the ring and you go, who's that?
Terrifying. Just a whole other side of her. But like I said, I was like, you're so beautiful. It doesn't look like you fight at all. It looks like you churn butter in the mountains.
Yeah, I don't think I would tell her that, but all right. That's a choice.
I said a lot of weird things to her. I asked her if she had sex before the match, and she was like, yes. And then it got into a weird thing where it was trying to work out an arrangement because it raises your testosterone.
Oh, I see.
Ladies.
Okay. All right.
But we were also talking about, I said, don't you feel lucky that you don't have like a huge, for me, weakness, like a weak spot? And she was talking about getting punched in the boob. So she would like go with it.
Right.
She's like, you've never been punched in the boob. And she's wrong. I've definitely been punched in the boob many, many times. And we were talking off mic about how the liver shot, the fight that she just won on Saturday, is like...
In 1 minute.
It's everybody's balls. Everybody has balls.
You can knock a person, just the body just stops cooperating.
Yeah. You will fall bizarre. To the ground if you get hit in your liver balls.
Are they liver balls?
I don't think medically that's what they're called, Pete, but...
I'll look it up.
It didn't look like any fun for Sarah McMahon, I'll tell you that.
No, it did not.
Let me ask you in our remaining moment here, Pete. I know you've shot a bunch of...
We can't close on liver balls?
No, I'm sorry. I know we've shot a bunch of viral videos, and you're very, very good at that. Do you find that this is in some way the golden age of celebrities willing to be in viral videos? That's and the reason I ask is because, like your Mark Paul Gosselaar Street Fighter, which is so popular. I mean, it seems like if it's a good idea, any celebrity is up for it now, and they get what's going on, which is just it's fun and it works.
Yeah. That's exactly what I thought of too. I couldn't believe that Mark Paul Gosselaar. I was a huge Saved by the Bell fan. I'm a fan of his current work too, Franklin and Bash and all that sort of stuff. But like asking him when he was on the show as a guest, I was like, would you ever want to do a sketch? And his answer,
you sort of feel like bad for asking.
You feel weird.
Yeah, you don't like, want to insult him.
It's like asking a comedian to do a like some bad cruise warm up thing. Right. Like you're not even the act. Like you go out and ask them how they're doing or whatever. So it's not that anymore. They get that it's like a funny opportunity to do something different. And MPG, that's what I call him, MPG.
Yeah, sure.
He said, what am I doing? Like, he's busy. He's doing a lot of stuff. But the truth of the matter is what we're realizing is a lot of these actors, big A-list actors, they have a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
And guess what? They like acting. And guess what? They're tired of playing the same sorts of
parts. Yeah, I imagine.
So if you can write like a great, like we've been trying to get John Hamm from Mad Men on, something where he's not a slick guy in a suit, he might be into that. And I love
that's
when
what Jimmy Kimmel does so well with celebrities.
That's
right. They jump at the chance to do something like that.
Right. Get Mike Tyson singing or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. Because everybody's the same. We all want to kind of do new things and have some novelty in our lives. So you get someone like MPG to play Ryu from Street Fighter. That's a winning combination. He was such a pro though too. He learned that Japanese. He really did all on his own. He went nuts.
Wow.
He's a pro.
Well, you got a great week coming back, and I know that your show is not guest-focused. Usually, you're not the guy who's out there fighting for Will Smith and you two every night.
But listen
to this. Judd Apatow and Bodie Miller on tonight's show. Ronda Rousey and TJ Miller on Tuesday night. So Jenny Slate is going to be on Thursday, by the way, who we love. She's hilarious.
She's
so you got some great
funny.
Stuff.
So
you are back tonight on TBS after the Conan show at midnight. Pete Holmes. It's the Pete Holmes Show, and that's Pete Holmes, who stopped by here on the Kevin Beach Show.
More Pete
Thank
Holmes.
You, Pete Holmes.
Thank you so much, guys. Really.
Sherman Way toward the 101 South.
The Voice is back. Adam, Blake, Usher, and Shakira return to America's Singing Competition. The Emmy-winning The Voice premieres tonight at 8, 7 Central, only on NBC.
I'm Nick Pagliocchini with your K-Rock traffic.
All right, it is 7:52 now. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
Why does that lady talk like that? Did you hear her?
I did, but I was also trying to concentrate on what Beer Mug was doing to Ralph.
It's repulsive.
What happened?
See, this isn't what I should have to put up with my first day back. I shouldn't have to put up with this.
What did he do? I didn't know.
He's trying to come over to tell me I've got a production element I asked for the Showbiz Beat,
right.
Which is good to be informed. But he comes and goes like, yeah, you got and food is dripping out of his mouth and trapped in his mustache and in his teeth and on his tongue while he's talking to me. It was horrific. It was
fantastic.
It was repugnant.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? You don't come over and talk to someone with food falling out of your mouth like you're some sort of Wolverine?
That means he forgot when you came in. And then he just was like, oh,
and
no,
was
I have to tell him.
Mid-chew and he had to tell me something?
Yeah.
Ralph, you weren't here last week when Jeff Garland was a guest on the show.
Love
and
Jeff
Garland, who we love, by the way, he's a great interview. We're talking to him and all of a sudden he just stops. And he's looking at Beer Mug and he says, look at all that food coming out of that guy's mouth. He's like, watching Mugs just shoveling noodles into his mouth, and half of them are missing. And our poor guest had to endure that.
It's like ramen. Yes. He was trying to take it in one gulp. I don't know. It was just
a shatter ramen.
It was just grossing out Jeff. And I couldn't see him because he was behind me. Just like, stop doing that.
This is a professional radio station.
That's your mistake.
In a major market, and guests have to be subjected to that?
Yes. That happened, but at least he called him out on it.
Good for him.
Hey, LaQuisha recaps the Rich Kids of Beverly Hills coming up next hour. Aziz Ansari on the program. And as you've heard, Sir Ben Kingsley joins us. Trevor Slattery, the Mandarin, or Izzy, we'll discuss with Sir Ben coming up. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
It is Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Lego Movie, still number one by a long shot. $31.5 million made it number one. 3 Days to Kill, the new Kevin Costner action film, and its debut did pretty well for itself, $12.3 million. Then Pompeii, or Pompeii, as I like to say.
No one says it
Pompeii.
That way. Nobody says
back
it that
in my
way.
Days in ancient Rome, I used to call it Pompeii.
You were not in ancient Rome.
$10 million. RoboCop was fourth. Then Monuments Men. Number six, About Last Night, another Kevin Hart film, Ride Along, came in at number seven. Then Frozen, Endless Love, and A Winter's Tale. Running out your top ten at the box office. I think we have to lay off Bieber.
What?
Yeah, because I didn't realize it before, but now it's becoming clear to me. His feelings are hurt.
Oh, no.
I didn't realize his feelings were hurt, but now that I know his feelings are hurt, I think maybe we should just let the poor Canadian alone.
But are we making up that he's throwing eggs and that he's spitting at people? Are we making that up?
No, that's all true, Kevin, but his feelings are hurt.
Oh.
You know what really hurt his feelings?
What?
All the presence on the internet of the joke of the U.S. versus Canada hockey semifinal game.
Whoever loses keeps Bieber.
Everyone posted that picture saying, loser keeps Bieber.
Yeah.
That apparently, that hurt, man. That hurt. It was all over Twitter, and so Bieber posted a tweet to respond. Here's what he said. I guess I'm an easy target for some. I'm still human.
Oh.
I will continue to meet hate with love. It's all about the music. Much love.
It's not all about the music, though.
Right.
If it was all about the music, he would be easy to ignore.
That's my point. He's doing stuff that's getting people's attention because he's a douchebag.
Sadly, of course, the U.S. lost that game 1-0. And so quickly, the pictures of Loser Keeps Bieber were replaced with, hey, Canada, best 2 out of 3? Best 3 out of 5? And no response from Bieber regarding that.
I'm 19 years old. I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
Nope.
This is not a gimmick. I'm an artist, and I should be taken seriously. And this all this other bull should not be spoken of.
Should not be spoken of.
Should not be spoken of. Okay.
It shall not be spoken of. Justin's also responding via song, because it is all about the music.
Sure.
He dropped a new song this week, along with rapper Blake Kelly, a song called Broken, where he talks about how everybody wants to break him, man, but it's not gonna happen. This is his first release since his recent arrest. Here are some of the lyrics. I guess they want a reaction. I ain't going to give it to them. Well, by the very fact that you recorded and released this song, I think you did give it to us, Justin. Maybe the definition of not giving a reaction is lost on you. He also croons in the chorus, I cannot be broken like I know you were hoping.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. He tells us in song.
I guess they want a reaction, but I ain't gonna give it to them. Yeah, they tryna get at me, yeah, but I ain't gonna read into it. Oh, they've been persistent, tryna break me down. Oh, I cannot be broken.
Yeah, man, he can't be broken. He cannot be broken.
He likes to play the martyr so much.
He cannot be broken.
But
you're trying to break him, he can't be broken. However, he can be auto-tuned, but he cannot be broken.
Very much.
I cannot be broken. I cannot be broken.
Is that auto-tuned?
Turn it down, just a touch.
Is that auto-tuned, or is he just affected the way he sings now?
Both.
Oh, I think both.
But he is well auto-tuned on that, as well as...
He just acts like everybody's making stuff up. No one is. Nobody's saying he's killing puppies or something. He does stuff.
He's human,
he's
man.
A douchebag.
He's human. And he will answer hate with love.
Oh.
And he cannot be broken. You know what? Give me 4 minutes... with an aluminum softball bat in an enclosed space, and let's see if he can be broken.
I'm just... He is hard to find. Oh, I cannot be broken.
He still thinks he won't be broken.
I just want to test the theory.
All right.
It's science.
That's valid.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Abe Vigoda is 93 years old today. Edward James Olmos. Boy, did I love that Battlestar Galactica. I'm sorry,
yeah,
that's not on the
show.
Air anymore. He's 67 years old. Deborah Jo Rupp, you know her as the mom from That 70s Show. She's 63. Kristen Davis of Sex and the City fame is 49. Billy Zane celebrates his 48th birthday. Bonnie Somerville, lovely and talented actress, turns 40. And boxing's Floyd Money Mayweather Jr., 37 years old today. Beer Mug saw him at the Lakers game over the weekend, and he went up to him and said,
food everywhere.
And a pound and a half of salami fell out of his face.
He's all
disgusting.
There's no time when he doesn't have food in his mouth.
Just repulsive on every level. It's good to be back. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Congratulations, Amanda Stump of Berkeley.
Wait, somebody listening online in Berkeley, California?
It would appear to be so, yes.
How about that?
Going to see the Arctic Monkeys in Dublin. In Dublin, Ireland. That's happening. That's a deal.
That's a pretty sweet deal. As you know, and I don't know how we can afford to send so many K-Rock listeners out of the country, but K-Rock's World Tour 2014 destination number 4 just announced this morning is the Black Keys in the Swiss Alps. 1 hour from right now, we're going to give you a chance to get on that standby boarding list at 9:10 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then throughout the day at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. You can get details at krock.com. I'm having phone difficulties here. Do we have Sir Ben on the phone?
We are about to.
We are about to,
yes,
all right?
We don't quite yet.
Iron Man 3, you guys,
yeah.
The number 2 highest grossing film of 2013, $409 million, Iron Man 3.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's an incredible franchise. I mean, Ralph talks about all the time how who would have ever thought that a minor Marvel character like Iron Man would be in the biggest franchise ever. But it's amazing how great those movies are and how great Robert Downey Jr. is and how there's something in every movie that makes you glad you went to see it. And in the most recent movie, it was Sir Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin. And you let me know when we have him on the phone.
We have him on the phone.
Fantastic. I'm a little bit nervous. You know, we interview a lot of people, been doing this show for a long time. It's not often we get a guy like Sir Ben Kingsley on the phone, so this is a real thrill. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing? Where are you? Are you in L.A.?
Yes, we are a Los Angeles radio station, K-Rock. We're not far from where you're going to be tonight.
Of course you are. Yeah, that's great. Are you coming tonight?
I'm not sure.
Oh, you must be there.
Okay, then yes.
Well, why don't you sell us? Tell us why, big man.
Well, I'm not very good at self-advertising, contrary to popular belief. I don't know. I just think Marvel took an enormous risk on having Trevor and Mandarin share the same role, as it were. And they held their nerve. They kept it a complete secret until the Iron Man 3 premiere. I really got to take my hats off to them. And Drew Pearce was an amazing guy to work with. He directed the one shot. He wrote it. And he asked me for my input. And, you know, I didn't really want to add too much to his script because I love to be surprised as an actor. If I have too much control over it, I'm not surprised when I read it. So a little bit of improvising on my part, but it's mostly Drew's wonderful writing. And risks are always exciting, aren't they, guys? You take a risk and you fingers crossed and see what the audience think. And it's a fan event this evening, so let's see if I'm either trampled to death or trampled to death.
Well, let me tell our listeners a little bit more about the event, Sir Ben, because you're going to be there. Drew Pearce, who you just spoke so highly of, is going to be there. You guys are going to be doing a question and answer after we see this Marvel one shot, as you call it, which is All Hail the King. Now, for those of us that fell in love with your character Trevor Slattery in the Iron Man 3, we get to see a whole bunch more of Trevor and what else the rest of his life has been like as an actor, right?
Well, he was arrested. He was put in solitary confinement in very, very luxurious surroundings that weren't solitary for very long.
Right.
He manages to survive very well in prison, and he's delighted to discover that he's about to be interviewed for a very prestigious documentary series on television. So, you know, his feathers are up. He's very proud. He's arrogant. He's narcissistic, all the wonderful things that we love about Trevor.
Now, you've had obviously a very long and distinguished Oscar-winning career, Sir Ben. Have you ever played a character as much fun as Trevor Slattery with the range that you got to show in Iron Man 3?
It was very releasing. It was very thrilling to
him. And thanks to the wonderful Robert Downey Jr. on the set, I was made very welcome. And Robert joined in and played ball and took it seriously. If that doesn't sound crazy, you've got to take comedy seriously.
Right.
If you think, oh, I'm being so funny, the audience don't think so. So in a sense, we played it quite straight.
Were you more interested in playing that character because of that twist?
Yes, definitely. Kevin Feige came to my house, told me about the twist. He didn't show me the script because there wasn't really a script. And he said, how does that twist appeal to you? I said, 100%. It's very appealing. Because it's a bipolar performance, really.
Right.
How insulated were you from some of the negative fan reaction from people who were in love with the comic books, who had in their mind what the Mandarin was supposed to be like, and really did not enjoy the switch?
Well, I never read anything about myself in print. I never read reviews. I never read articles. So I keep myself very immune from all that, knowing full well that you're never going to please everybody. I think the majority of people were pleased. Those fans who hated it, they'll be there tonight. I'll get booed.
By the way, you're absolutely right. Obviously, the majority of fans loved it because the movie made $409 million. So people, you know, people definitely bought into it. But, you know, especially when you're taking source material, whether it's a popular novel or whether it's a comic book or whether you're remaking a movie, there are always going to be sticklers who want it the way they want it. And sometimes that's not the way the movie decides to go. And that's fine, right?
Well, your question was, did I stay immune? My answer is completely, totally immune to all that.
Is it getting harder to do that? Well, there's so many outlets. It seems like it's everywhere.
Yeah, there's so many outlets, but I just ignore them. I don't click on them. I don't surf them. I don't look at them. A colleague of mine with whom I worked a couple of years ago was addicted to it. He went straight back to his trailer and watched every single hit on him that morning, and he came back to set and couldn't remember his line.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Does this go all the way back? Have you always had this policy?
Yes. I have, well, for at least 25 years, at least. From my theater days, when I read things that critics wrote who were there on the same night, who saw the same performance and saw the same very positive audience reaction, and it was as if they were on two different planets.
Right.
Wow. This is the voice of Ben Kingsley here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about All Hail the King, a 15-minute Marvel one-shot. Now, that is going to be screening tonight at the Hollywood Arclight. Ben is going to be sticking around with Drew Pierce to take questions afterwards, but we can all see it and own it on the Thor Dark World Blu-ray or DVD, which is going to be available everywhere tomorrow. So that sounds like a must-have thing. And I wanted to ask you one more question about this Trevor Slattery. Was there any part of you, Ben, that remembered back when you were a young up-and-coming actor like Trevor Slattery, who just is excited about the opportunity to get a job? Was that part of what informed your performance?
Oh, it's part of every actor's experience, and it had to be part of my performance. The insecurity, the voice in one's head that always said, "Come on, you can do it." In his case, it was my mother, his mother. In my case, it wasn't.
right.
But not the most positive influence in my life, I'm sorry to say. But yeah, I drew a lot on my own experience, and I drew a lot on not actors I knew, but directors I knew, funnily enough. He's based on two directors I've worked with.
Oh, that's funny.
Fascinating.
We're not gonna name names.
Yeah, who?
before we let you go, and here's an important thing for people listening right now who are thinking, oh, my God, this event sounds so cool tonight. Fans can still get into this party tonight by going down between 5 and 7 o'clock. Now, I don't have the particulars on this, but it says here that you can try to lift a Thor hammer, and some will get admission into the event with Ben Kingsley tonight if they can lift a Thor hammer. So it sounds like you need to be very strong and very bold.
I'll help them lift it.
You'll help them lift it.
All right. Yeah. And of course, Thor the Dark World, available on Blu-ray and DVD tomorrow. You can see this All Hail the King, this 15-minute Marvel one-shot with Ben Kingsley. And we are so thrilled to have had you on the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. You're so kind. Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Comedian Aziz Ansari from Parks and Recreation joins us in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And it's the return of our old friend from Legit, Jim Jefferies, in the 9 o'clock hour. Very excited about both of those guys. And very excited about the lady on the phone with us right now. LaQuisha joins us once again here on a Monday. Monday morning. Hi, LaQuisha.
Shut up.
All I said was hi. We were excited to have
you. That's all you had to say.
How was your weekend?
It was fine until last night.
What's the problem?
I sit down and watch E.
Oh.
And get a half an hour of my life just ripped out of me.
You love stupid white people. That's why we have you review The Rich Kids of Beverly Hills for us.
Not that stupid. And these people ain't that white either. You got one white girl, one Asian girl, one Persian girl.
All right. Well, all stupid,
it's
though, right?
Equal opportunity stupid.
Okay.
Last night, Morgan, who's got the big nose, big boobs.
Right.
Uh-huh.
She's hanging out with her best friend, Wang. And Wang and her hanging out, doing nothing, which is what they do all day long, just spend money, do nothing. And they take selfies of themselves and put them on Instagram.
Sure.
And Twitter and what have you. And so they take this picture like they never took a picture of each other before. They're so excited when they took this picture.
Oh, that's cute!
We look so relatable and approachable. People will be surprised.
Yeah.
Do you mind that your boobs popping out?
No.
What should our caption's the most important part. Should I say fabulous even in black and white?
Yes.
Are we going to do a Twitter and Facebook?
Yes.
Woo, we're like really committing to this photo.
Yeah. Well, it's that good of a photo. A photo like that doesn't come around all the time.
It's going away.
That is not real.
A photo like that doesn't come around but once every 4 minutes when they take another picture of themselves and put it online.
They do like to take photos of each other, don't they?
That's not a real show.
That's all they do is take photos of each other and post them online. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Oh, it's another selfie. Let's take a selfie. Let's do that. Oh, look. Let's take a selfie of us taking a selfie of us and put that up there.
We're really committing with both Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, my God. What's the caption going to be? This is their lives. They need to be attacked with machetes. Well, I tell you, when they're not taking selfies, no, they do is shopping. They go shopping.
Sure.
So Darcy, Big Nose, Big Boobs, and Wang, they go shopping. And Wang says that it's not her fault that she goes out and spends literally thousands of dollars every day in different clothing stores. Not her fault.
Not her fault.
It's her parents' fault. Hmm.
When I was younger, no, I hated shopping. I would cry. My mom would make me sit with her for hours and hours at like Escada or something
Escada.
Like. Remember Escada?
In the Beverly Wilshire? My
Escada
God,
was great. They loved me.
It's
they used to give me a little Coca-Cola and a goldfish. So now whenever my parents give me grief about shopping too much, I tell them, you created the monster. Remember, I didn't like it.
Wait. Is that on TV?
That's a television program.
Huh.
Escada. Escada. They should use that at Abu Ghraib or one of them prison facilities to get terrorists to talk. Just that word over and over again in a loudspeaker. Escada. Escada. Well, Morgan, Big Nose, Big Boo, she's upset because her friend Wang may be getting a job. And what's it going to do for her partner in doing nothing all day long? Who is she going to do nothing with if this one friend of hers actually does something for a living and contributes to society? Here's Morgan's day in a nutshell.
Okay, a typical day for me is very lackluster. I wake up, I have cottage cheese with 6 nectarines, then I have 2 waters legitimately, then I have a coffee, I don't leave the house until I and if I don't, I cannot leave. Then I go spinning probably around 12:30, and then I drive around aimlessly, I pop into stores, and talk it. I'm always talking.
Wow.
She can't leave the house unless she poop. I don't want to know about her poop. Now, Wang, she's going to get a job selling real estate. She's going to be a real estate. I got a theory. People who can't do nothing else eventually end up selling real estate. Because all it takes for that is like, hey, you need a house? Hey, look at this house
look
here.
At this one.
You like that house? Thank you. That give me my money now. Yes, you bought a house. Now give me money. But Wang thinks she's going to have an extra talent for this in Beverly Hills. Because she has the Asian persuasion on her side.
Mauricio's actually been trying to get me to come into the agency and talk to him for a while because I'm kind of like a cultural ambassador to Beverly Hills. I can really help people coming from Asia that want to buy a home. And if they're Chinese, I can speak Mandarin too, so it's a good fit for me and it's a good fit for them.
What if the poor client speaks English, though? Then what's going to happen? How's that communication breakdown going to happen?
But wait, hold on. I'm confused, LaQuisha. She's talking about getting a job. Isn't that the opposite of everything these girls believe in?
Yes, it is. And I have no idea why she's taking upon herself to get a job. I think it's pressure from mommy and daddy.
Ah.
I think if she wants to continue to have free reign on the Amex Black Card, she's going to have to do something with her life because parents are getting a little chap-ass about it. Now, Roxy, her, she already been cut off by her parents. She had to get a job. She is now an interior designer. She's the Persian girl.
Okay.
It doesn't keep her from making ridiculous purchases, though, like at the dog store she was at with her little dog, Leechy.
Leechy.
Leechy, like the leechy nut. They're shopping when Roxy sees a dog bed.
I believe we lost LaQuisha. Oh, she's so happy right now.
You think she offed herself?
I don't think that's what happened. But I think she's so happy she doesn't have to talk about the rich kids in Beverly Hills anymore. That airs, by the way, Sunday nights at 10 on E! I think we are almost out of time, but we do want to hear about the dogs next time we have LaQuisha on, because these are the people who dress up their dogs in crazy little outfits and paint their nails and do all that kind of nonsense. They shouldn't be allowed to own pets, right?
Oh, I think I have her. Hello?
Why are you cutting me off?
We didn't cut you off. The line went dead.
Black woman can't be on the radio.
The line went dead.
Uh-huh. I bet it did.
Tell us about the dog.
So here's the Roxy finding the perfect dog bed at this high-end Beverly Hills dog store.
Excuse me? That is my bed. It's like a miniature version of my Canopy Princess bed. If Leechy was in her bed and I was in my bed, we'd match. It would look amazing. That'd be the best Instagram photo ever.
Come on.
$2,900 for the dog bed. $2,900 for the princess dog bed for Leechy Nush.
That is not real.
Now, Morgan decides she got to get a job, too. She needs to go out there and do something. And she has one thing going for her, her blog. Her blog, Boobs and Lubes, which is about her boobs and Louboutin shoes that she likes to wear.
Okay.
And she loves her blog. She's got a talent. She's going to turn that into a profession.
I have been blogging for 3 years. My blog's called boobsandloops.com. It's basically like my online diary that I share with the entire world, whether that's the fact that I have or I'm overly or I haven't eaten anything, or I need to eat more, or I hate this person, or a celebrity's bothering me. I blog about whatever pops into my head. Everything.
That sounds fascinating. More updates on her poop schedule. That's what I need.
You didn't want it the first time.
And now it's on a blog.
Right.
Whether she's pooping or not pooping, or who she's pooping with, or what she ate, then she pooped out. Here's all her skills. This is her resume.
I love writing. It's the only thing I'm good at. It really is. Speaking, being charismatic, making people laugh, and writing are the only skill set that I have.
Oh, you're 0-for-4, girl.
She's overestimating most of those.
I know you're not funny. I know you're not charismatic. I know you can't. I don't know about writing, but I know you're not interesting. Well, the problem is her boyfriend keeps this charade going by filling her with false confidence about her work. Here's what he has to say.
You touch people with your words, as cheesy as that sounds, and they trust your word because you give great advice, and I truly believe that.
Babe!
And my point is that you need to take advantage of that, because mm-hmm. people will listen to you.
People with your words. You touch people when you tell them about your pooping and your nectarines that you ate with your cottage cheese and whether you pooped or not and your spin class and the shoes that you wear. You touch their lives with stories of poop and cottage cheese.
Are we losing you, LaQuisha?
I'm going to come down there and kill you.
We'll talk to you next week.
Our friend Jim Jefferies joins us in studio in the 9 o'clock hour this morning. Very excited to see Jim. It's been a while. And speaking of people we haven't talked to in a while, how about Aziz Ansari on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show? Hey, Aziz, how are you, man?
Hey, how are you guys?
Very good, thank you.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. Hey, listen, I'm glad we're having you on. We appreciate you reaching out to us because you're trying to spread the word about what sounds like a great event that's going to be tonight at the Largo. Can you tell us more?
Yes, I don't know if everyone's heard, but there was a young comedian in New York that unfortunately got hit by a subway. She was standing on the tracks and fainted and fell down, and her leg got run over by the subway.
Oh, my God. And, wow.
Obviously not the ideal thing to happen to a person. And so myself and a few other comedians are doing a benefit to help her pay for her medical bills and things tonight at the Largo. It's myself, Chelsea Peretti, who's really funny. She's on that show, Brooklyn 99.
Right. Yeah, she's great.
Moshe Kasher is a really funny stand-up. Gerard Carmichael, another super funny guy. And Joe Mandy, who's a writer on Parks and Recreation. And, you know, we might have a couple of other special guests or something drop in if we can call some people up. But, yeah, we're doing that show tonight to kind of help her out and, you know, hope people come through. It should be a cool show.
She does not have insurance? Is that what I'm reading? Is that
correct?
Yeah,
you know, she's young comic, just moved to New York from South Carolina not long ago. I don't know her that well personally, but, you know, I've just been reading about it, and everyone in the comedy community has told me she's, you know, a super cool person, and, you know, just a super unfortunate thing that happened to a young person who's, you know, trying to be a comedian and didn't seem to be causing any trouble, so.
Yeah. Of course, yeah, and I'm sure it seems super, I mean, you must super relate because you're from South Carolina and you're a comedian too, so, you know, there but for the grace of God go I, any of us could get hit by a train, you know, it's just a super bad break.
I read that she was from South Carolina, and I was like, oh, and then I started, like, reading about her online, and she seemed very, very funny and sweet, and, yeah, it seemed like such a crappy thing to happen to someone, so... You know, I think it's cool. Everyone in the comedy community has really kind of rallied to kind of try to help.
Seems well, like let me give out, let me, sorry, Kevin, didn't mean to interrupt. Let me just give out the information one more time real quick. Tickets available at ticketfly.com, ticketfly.com. It's Aziz and Chelsea Peretti, the lineup that you heard him mention. It's going to be tonight at the Largo. Seat assignment begins at 6. Doors open for drinks at 7. Showtime is at 8:30. Seats will be assigned first come, first serve from the front of the theater to the back. So if you want to sit closer, get there early. But again, $75 for all those comedians and the proceeds going to comedian Liza Dye.
It seems like, Aziz, it seems like the comedy world kind of supports its own.
Yeah, you know, I think everyone's been there at a certain point where you're in New York or L.A. or whatever, and you know, you don't have a lot of money, and you're just, you know, getting by trying to figure something out doing comedy, and I think that's why everyone really can relate to her and is trying to do their best, because, you know, I everyone struggled starting off doing stand-up, but also hit by a subway, probably not helping things, so...
No, I'm guessing it's not helping.
No kidding. And by the way, you know, big-time TV actors like you, you're lucky enough to be in a union where you get insurance, but I would imagine the vast majority of people that are making a living as stand-up comedians are not going to have insurance, too.
Yeah, there's no open mic union to take care of people.
This is the voice of Aziz Ansari here, back on the Kevin and Bean Show, of course. Parks and Recreation airs Thursday nights at 8:30 on NBC. I assume that's going to be coming back soon now that the Olympics are over?
Sorry, say one more time?
I'm just wondering if when Parks and Rec is coming back now that the Olympics are over, they took all of our shows away from us.
I'm sorry, my connection's really bad. Can you ask one more time?
Yeah, we're losing it. Now that the Olympics are over, I was just wondering when the NBC schedule goes back to normal.
When things are going to get back to normal for
yes,
her?
Yes.
No, so no, we can no. No, for you for Parks and Rec. I was just wondering when Parks and Rec is coming back now that the Olympics are over.
Oh, Parks and Rec. Oh, I don't know. I guess this Thursday or next week. I don't know.
I like it.
I'm very bad enough to show it, but we just shot. We're shooting the season finale right now, and it's insane. It's the biggest. It's the biggest love letter to the fans of the show ever. There's been a couple of things that have leaked on the internet here and there, but it's yeah. So if you've been looking around, you know it's going to be pretty insane.
Well, the show has been so great this season, Aziz. It really has been such a great season for the show. And the way you handled Rob Lowe and Rashida Jones' departure, I know that was very tough for you guys personally because you're all friends. But, I mean, it was just so well done. It was such a luxury to know in advance that they were leaving so you could kind of write it that way and work up to it. But it was so well done.
Yeah, no, we definitely missed them. And that episode was really great, though. And we're glad we were able to you know, put those stories to bed the way we did.
All right, Aziz Ansari, on stage tonight. It's going to be at the Largo at the Coronet on La Cienega in Los Angeles. Please go and buy your tickets for a worthy, worthy cause to help a comedian down on her luck. Ticketfly.com. Ticketfly.com. Sounds like a great time. Aziz, happy to have you on, man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Take care, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Jim Jefferies, that sexy beast, joins us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. And then at 9:10 this morning, we want to get you on the standby boarding list to see the Black Keys in the Swiss Alps. K-Rock's World Tour 2014 Destination Before. Again, that's coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Details at K-Rock.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Ralph Garman on the Kevin Beach Show. Back with the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
I know I said this earlier, Ralph, but you're not allowed to ever go away again. We cannot function, and we miss you.
That is unfortunate.
And thank you for coming back.
That's not going to stand, that request. But I appreciate the intent or the emotion behind it. It's just, that's not.
We're glad to have you back.
I'm just saying.
Don't
just say.
Don't expect that, because it's not going to happen. Talking to Jim in the other room, by the way, we're all in for a good time.
Okay, good. That's usually the case.
Got a lot going on. Asking about him and his junkie friends. There's a lot of stuff going on these days.
All right. So,
excellent.
We're going to have fun. Before I get to the showbiz news, I'm torn about this this thing I need to do here. On one hand, I am very much looking forward to the Morongo Good Times Blackjack Tournament.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That we are going to be participating in on Friday, March the 7th at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. It's a great joint. I love it there. I love playing there. I'm looking forward to the Blackjack Tournament because I will be playing. My good friend Kevin will be playing. Mm-hmm. Dave the King of Mexico will be there. We're all going to
be... Wow, sounds like a party.
...testing our blackjack skills against those you lucky listeners who are chosen to play.
By the way, that's all positive.
And then the party will continue at Tacos and Tequila, the great restaurant there at the Morongo, after the event. So you really should... You should sign up. What you need to do is go to krock.com. The tournament is free. And limited exclusively to K-Rock listeners. So it's going to be a great event. So go to krock.com, and you'll find all the details there for how you can sign up for the Blackjack Tournament.
Well, I don't see the downside at all to what you're talking about here, Ralph.
Well, leading up to the tournament, I'm going to be giving away seats to play at the tables with us, the K-Rock jocks who are going to be there.
Right.
Today, they're asking me to give away a seat to play at Beer Mug's table.
Oh, no, 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 no. No.
Now, how can I do that to someone? My first day back at the job, how do I reward our kind listeners by forcing someone to sit at the same table with Beer Mug?
I think
how
you
do
just,
I do that in all good conscience?
Nine. You just make an audible and just change it to your table or my table?
I can. They give me the stuff to do. I got to do it.
Well, I guess they know what they're calling for.
So if you are...
You only get stuck there for the first round, though.
That's true, because then you'll move on.
Right.
Because Beer Mug will lose, and then you'll go on and you'll play somewhere else. But if you'd like a seat to play at Beer Mug's table at the second annual K-Rock Good Times Blackjack Tournament Friday, March the 7th at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa, call now. Call now, and here's what happened. You call now, and then Chip will talk to you, and whoever the worst caller is, we'll have you sit at Beer Mug's table. Because I hate to give it to someone.
She's going to screen for bad?
She's going to screen for bad. Like, somebody really just awful who just deserves to be punished.
Aww.
Then we'll sit you at Beer Mug's
all right.
table. But through the rest of the week, I will be giving away seats at my table and Kevin's and Dave the King of Mexico's. And look at that. No calls. No one's calling in. Not one. All the lines are open. No one wants to call in to play at Beer Mug's table.
I think no, thank you.
That's what people are saying.
Is Don on the phone?
Don on the phone. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the box office for the weekend. Here is... Who made money? Lego Movie just as a juggernaut. 3 weeks in a row now at the top of the weekend box office. Number one, $31.5 million made it number one.
That's a crazy third weekend.
It's crazy. This movie is just a monster hit. 3 Days to Kill was second behind that with $12.3 million, the new Kevin Costner film. Then Pompeii, RoboCop, and The Monuments Men. That's your top five. About Last Night, Ride Along Frozen, Endless Love, and A Winter's Tale. Rounding out your top ten at the box office. You know, it's coming out this weekend. Look forward to it.
What?
Is Nonstop, the new Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah. Liam Neeson, yeah.
Looks pretty terrific.
They had him on 60 Minutes last night. I don't know if you saw that or not, Ralph.
Yeah,
But he's making Taken 3 now.
Yeah.
He's going to make over $50 million for Taken 3.
Wow.
Talk about a guy who became a giant movie star in sort of the second act of his career. You know?
And an action star.
He's always been talented, and he's always been working, but boy, since Taken, he has just gone into another level.
He is 61 years old now, I think they said on the show last night. And
well,
he's
you'd never know. He looks ridiculous.
More popular than he's ever been.
Looks great. He looks like he'd still kick ass, so it's not a problem with that. But
everyone around him seems to get taken, though. He's bad news.
Yeah. You know what he needs? Like a...
like some sort of security team or something to travel with him.
It'd be helpful.
Protect him. Speaking of movies, are you excited about the Veronica Mars movie?
I am.
So much.
Coming to a limited number of theaters March the 14th.
Oh, already?
Can't wait.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Doesn't it seem like just an amazing turnaround from the Kickstarter to them going into production to having it in theaters? The Wall Street Journal announced last week it'll also be available to rent or buy online on that same Friday. So it's a multi-tiered distribution system where you'll be able to see it in theaters or you can get it at home. The whole thing happened, of course, Kickstarter exactly a year ago that weekend.
How about that?
In the span of a year, they went from raising a ridiculous amount of money to going into production to getting it finished. So exactly a year later, it'll be available for your consumption.
It's about as quick as it gets.
Pretty much is.
We used to have a great relationship with Kristen Bell until Dave skeeved her out, and now she won't come on the show anymore.
Remember, gave her those matching salt and pepper shakers, one with shaped like her, one looked like him.
Promised to give them to her. She never showed to get them.
Yeah, I think she was frightened off by the mere idea of it.
Now you know how it is with you, Bean, when you scare people off.
Yeah, really.
How the rest of us feel.
How dare you?
See what it feels like? Sort of sucks.
And we're talking about movies. Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues, currently in theaters. If you've enjoyed it, you might want to go again this weekend because Paramount Pictures will be releasing an all-new version this weekend. Same movie, different version. I can't remember this ever happening before.
Me
where a
either.
Film was released with a brand new edit while it was still in theaters. Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues. This version has 763 brand new jokes. They've replaced nearly all the jokes in the movie with other takes.
That's crazy.
That they think are equally or maybe even funnier. Adam McKay, our friend, the director who wrote the script along with Will, told Variety the latest version is raunchier than the original. So if you've seen the original and you want it turned up a little bit, this would be for you. If you're a hardcore Anchorman fan, go see this, he says. If you're not, stay very far away. So he's predicting people going casually to this film will not enjoy it nearly as much as hardcore Anchorman fans. You've been warned.
Can't wait.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Abe Vigoda is 93 years old today. Edward James Olmos, 67 years old. There's another guy in his 60s who still scares me to death. I would not want to tangle with Edward James Olmos.
Yep.
He can just give you that look and you just wither. Kristen Davis from Sex and the City. She's 49. I think of all the Sex and the citizens, she is, she's the one you most want to do, right?
If you have to pick one. Yeah.
Well, I don't think you'd be hard-pressed to have sex with Kristen Davis.
No, I guess.
I think you'd gladly pick up that gauntlet.
Okay.
Wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, I guess.
And by gauntlet, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. You're...
This right here.
Yeah.
I call that the gauntlet.
I can see it.
I don't think you see it.
I have my eyes closed now, but I could before.
MMA analyst Baz Rutten is 49 years old today. Actor Billy Zane from Titanic. He was also the Phantom. You ever see the Phantom? One of my favorite comic book movies that nobody ever saw. Phantom.
I don't think I ever did, no.
Phantom is an old-timey superhero. One of the first, actually. Was actually in newspaper comic strips before it became a comic book. And
well, you know how to sell it.
Great movie. I really enjoyed it. Hmm. Bonnie Somerville, lovely and talented actress, is 40 years old. And boxing's Floyd Money Mayweather Jr. turns 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I don't usually miss guests, but I have to say it has been far too long since our friend Jim Jefferies has been in studio. He is returning on the TV with Legit. It is coming back, and he is here right now, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Jefferies.
Thank you. Am I even on? I can't hear myself.
You're on.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Turn up your headphones.
Yes.
Legit comes back on Wednesday. We have many questions about that, of course. It's one of our very favorite shows on TV on FXX. But first, let's catch up with you. What have you been doing since the last time we saw you, dude?
I'm back on tour. You know, I got my little kid, and I've been promoting the show. So, yeah, baby and a tour. And I did a zombie movie in Australia, which I don't think is very good. when I was making it, I thought, this isn't good. So we'll see.
Really? You knew while you're in the middle of it.
Hey, look, if the film comes out great, then I will be happy, but I don't think it will.
Is it going to have international release, or is this something that's being made just for Australia?
I think they want to have an international release, but I'd like to win an Oscar. So,
let me tell you something, Jim.
Most actors won't come in here and say, I made a movie. I don't think it's very good.
I was excellent in it.
I want to tell you something. This should give you hope. I mentioned a few minutes ago that I saw Liam Neeson on 60 Minutes last night.
Right.
Terrific actor. He said that when he was making the first Taken movie, which is the one that revitalized his career and ended up making $300 million or something, he said The whole time he was making the movie, he thought, wow, this movie is not good. This movie is probably going to go direct to DVD. So it just goes to show you, even an expert an Oscar-nominated actor like him, you can't always tell whether it's good or not.
I'll tell you what, I think this zombie movie might go straight to video.
Not even that's going to bypass DVD, go to VHS. Are you a zombie in it, or are you a victim?
No, I'm a victim. It had some funny bits. It will be all right, I hope.
Is it a comedy?
It is a comedy. Let's not talk about it too much longer. Okay. I have other things I'm proud of.
What are you proud of?
Like Legit.
Legit is one of my favorite shows. When does it come back? This Wednesday?
It comes back this Wednesday with your boy, Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood.
And Mike Catherwood. Mm-hmm. And they were acting on it, and they did a rather good job. In fact, they were the only people who knew their lines. Most actors don't really know their lines because it takes like 40 minutes to set up the cameras. You only got about 6 lines per scene, and so you just memorize it in that little bit. But they had them down.
They were ready.
They were better prepared than any other actor. And it does. I start off in Love Line, and Dr. Drew diagnoses me as a sex addict.
Okay.
And which sort of happened in real life. Like I came
what
to
do you
and
mean
said,
sort
I,
of?
I said, I'm having a few problems. I've got my girlfriend. I want to cheat and everything, but I'm having a baby, so I'm trying not to. And he goes, and I said, and I'm masturbating a lot. I masturbated on an airplane the other day. And he goes, yeah, you probably, you know, I do it on airplanes, like on long haul flights to fall asleep.
Right.
Because, you know.
Okay, well, there's a purpose then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I clean up after myself. In fact, I think that.
I don't think we were questioning that.
I think the toilet. I do it in the little sink area, right? Because that's the right height for me. But I always think that the bathroom is cleaner after I've been in there. It's not like I just spill everything all over the place, then I open the accordion doors and look at the next person.
And go, like, good luck.
Good luck. Enjoy.
So you're wiping it down. You're a very conscientious airplane masturbator.
I'm sure if you had one of those special blue lights, the room would look a lot worse afterwards. But to the naked eye, it is cleaner.
So let me ask you this. So Dr. Drew diagnoses you as a sex addict because you're having cheating urges and you're masturbating frequently. Now, that's for the show. That's for Legit.
Yes.
What would he say in real life about somebody who exhibited those exact same symptoms?
Well, he's big on therapy and all that type of stuff, you know, and I don't know if he's an AA guy or something like that. But I'm a big Dr. Drew fan. I think he knows the business. I tell you what, there was a few lines I wrote for him on Legit where I thought, you won't say this, right?
Oh, he'll...
He said,
"Oh yeah."
Okay, so there was a line where
he's got a great sense of humor.
There's a line where I went, "He goes, look, maybe you're depressed, Jim." And I said, "Yeah, maybe." I said, "I was watching something on Dr. Phil, where he said something very similar." And then Dr. Drew goes, "Dr. Phil, really? Why don't you just get your advice from Rachel Ray, Jim?" when I wrote that line, I thought, "Oh, maybe you won't say it."
Oh no,
no love lost between him and Dr. Phil.
What about our friend Mike, who, by the way, was just here talking about Legit on Friday? He was in here. And is he too pretty to be a good actor? Because it seems like he wouldn't care enough to try hard.
This is the problem, is because Mike's a radio guy, I think many people don't know how pretty he is.
Right. You know? He's ridiculously handsome.
And I even had girls on set when we brought him in. They're going, oh, so we just got an actor to play Mike.
Oh,
people
who
listen to Love Line and stuff, right? Going, we just got an actor to play Mike. Do we? Because they thought he was too pretty for radio. I go, no, that's Mike. That's the real guy. And like he always goes on how he used to be an addict. For a guy who took a lot of drugs, geez, he has nice teeth.
He does. He does.
And he
You're
reckons
right.
he hasn't done anything to him. I have 2 cigarettes and I look like Fagin from Oliver.
That could pull, Jim. Good reference.
Yeah. You don't get enough Fagin references on this.
You certainly don't. So were you concerned when you were writing this episode or co-writing this episode that you were giving too much of the heavy lifting to non-actors and that was going to be a tough shoot for you?
No, acting's easy, right? Let's be honest.
You're a non-actor.
I'm a non-actor. They let me do it.
That's true. Know? That's a good point.
And it's not. And they were playing themselves, and they did a great. But we've got some cool guest stars on this, and we've got Carrie Fisher.
Really?
Is coming on. And that's wonderful just to sit with. And when you sit with Carrie Fisher for long enough, and I was with her for 2 days because we did our scenes together, you go, don't mention Star Wars, don't mention Star Wars. That's what your brain is.
That must drive her crazy.
Don't mention Star Wars. And then, like, she can see it on your face because I'm a kid. I was born when Star Wars was made. Like,
right.
And then she just went, well, I'm going off to London to film the new Star Wars. And I'm like, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, you were in Star Wars?
Yeah, the new one being made.
Oh, how about that?
And she says she's going to be in it for 6 months, which means that she's no small part in this new Star Wars.
6 months?
Yeah, 6 months in London they're filming.
Wow. That's interesting.
So, and we got George Lazenby plays my dad. who you might know was
former James Bond.
Who was James Bond once, and is still like a super handsome, like 75. And so we got him to play my dad, and my mother's being played by an actress called Magna Sabansky, who's a big star in Australia, but not really known over here, but she's like a sketch type of comic over there. The only movie you'd know her from here is she was the farmer's wife in the movie Babe.
Oh, okay. And all like, right.
Babe, Pig in the City.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. She's married to James Cromwell in the film. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. So she's a very large woman. That, right. That's her stick, is being a fat lady.
She's fat.
Right? And
you can challenge her for that, though, if you worked on a gym. You could be a fat lady if you tried harder.
And so the thing is, I ring up my mom and I ring up mom and dad. I say, hey, Dad, you're going to be played by James Bond. And so my mom goes, and I imagine you're getting just a fat woman to play me.
Oh, no.
And I said, if you worked out more, we could have gotten Halle Berry or something. You know what I mean? Or Denise Richards.
My fault.
You didn't keep yourself together.
Jim, is legit on in Australia? Can they see it?
It does well in Australia. It does really well in Australia. It's we outrate shows like Veep and girls were more popular in Australia than those.
For those of you that haven't seen Legit, it is the most wrong show on TV.
It is very wrong.
And that's why I love it.
Yeah, this season's way more wrong than the first.
How is that possible if it's still on the air?
Yeah, but that's why we this might be our last throw of the dice.
You think
so
this is
we
it?
Thought we're going to get it all out now.
Well, we have DJ Qualls, who we love, as you know, Jim, coming in later in the week to talk about it. He, of course, plays Billy on the show. We got to take a quick break. Jim Jeffries is here, but don't go away. More with Jim in a moment. And don't miss Legit this Wednesday night at 10 on FXX. We'll be right back on K-Rock. After comedy specials called Alcoholicost and Fully Functional, it's a miracle that our guest is even alive, much less still doing comedy at the top of his game. Jim Jeffries in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show, the star of Legit, which returns to FXX. And by the way, you do probably have that channel, even if you haven't watched it yet, folks. Look for FXX. It airs this Wednesday night at 10 o'clock, the return of season 2, Legit. Was Jim doing some disco dancing during that song right there?
It seemed like
he was shaking that ass a little bit.
No, from the neck up.
I don't hear songs like this very much in my car. I'm an iPod guy. My music taste stopped about 12 years ago.
Is that right? Okay.
So I get excited by, is this what the kids are listening to?
If I went to your iPod, who would the most played artist be on it, Jim?
Oasis and the Beatles.
Oasis still,
yeah,
really?
I'm stuck, yeah.
There's another band like them called the Beatles you should check out. They're
love the Beatles. I heard
Oh, you've heard of them? Okay.
I watched that reunion thing with the 50th anniversary thing. Come on, Ringo. Jeez, you should have some type of stagecraft. when he was standing at the front going, what would you think if I sang out a tune? And he was just, it was the same as I would do it at karaoke. There wasn't a single...
No effort.
But he's never been better than that.
But then there's the thing where he goes, I should go play a song on the drums. And he goes back to the drums, let's talk about boys, like that, right? And then, but there's a drummer next to him. Who needs two drums? Is Ringo's drum just filled with pillows?
And I'm plugged in and it's not working?
Like, because why is there the second drummer?
I don't know. That's weird.
There isn't. Every single time you see Ringo drum in the last 10 years, there's another drummer just off to the side.
That's actually a little bit sad that you pointed out.
But you're a big... I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
No, exactly.
You're a big Beatles fan.
Love the Beatles. Okay. Crazy about the Beatles.
I don't.
You don't?
No.
What's wrong with you?
A lot. But here's my question for you. Isn't Paul McCartney writing stuff like, has he regressed to the... To me, it seems like second grade stuff.
Yeah, but this is the stuff. But people don't even listen to it now.
They don't.
Yeah, it needs to. He's got enough songs. It's the same reason that Billy Joel just gave up writing albums. He went, people aren't going to listen anymore.
So that's why Paul McCartney does that?
Paul McCartney. Billy Joel probably writes songs, but just for himself.
Right.
And but just doesn't release them. Paul McCartney still thinks the world wants to hear his new songs. And maybe in there's a couple of gems here and there, but...
But for the most part, it seems like he's ripping off second graders.
Who cares?
You know what I mean?
And his voice is sort of... He's like 73. Your voice gets a bit shot by that stage. You know, you can't sing the high notes anymore. So it's... You know, I remember I bought the album Misery or something in the backyard, Creation and Chaos in the backyard or something. Mm-hmm. And it had a song, and this is when he was dating Heather Mills. I used to do a joke years ago about Heather Mills. He used to go, when he wanted to marry her, he got down on one knee. That was a nickname. Anyway, so when he was married to Heather Mills, and his ex-wife that he loved, Linda, had been dead for like 3 years. There was a song where he goes, "I'm very sure this hasn't happened to me before." And it's like, this is the biggest love of my life. Do you reckon his kids just listened to that album and went, "Dad, what about Mum?
But
remember Mum?
Wasn't that long ago?
You sappy old bastard."
Hey, Jim, I hate if this is a hack question, but I'm sincerely interested in it. Mm. A lot of times people's whole perspective on the world changes when they start having a kid. They start looking at things in a completely different way. Has that affected your comedy at all?
It hasn't affected my comedy in this. I talk about my son on stage, but it hasn't affected like my comedy, I don't think. I hope not. It's not like
your sensibilities.
It's not like, yeah, my sensibility hasn't changed. It's not like I've become Ray Romano up there. And nothing, there's nothing wrong with being Ray Romano. He's a great comic, but it's not like I've changed. You know, weird things like when my son was born, I realized I hadn't changed when he was born, and then a week later, the couple over the road. And I'll say it without swear words, but the couple over the road had a baby girl, right?
Right.
And the first thing that went through my head, wrongly or rightly, is, geez, I hope Hank has sex with that one day.
Right? Use the word that.
Yeah, sex exactly. With that. And I felt bad because, but that's the thing about having a son. I want him to have sex with as many people, whether he's gay or straight. I hope there's whatever genitals he's into, he's just surrounded by them constantly.
Right.
Yeah, he gets his share.
But no
right.
One's ever held their daughter and gone, "Oh, I hope you get as many."
No.
Yeah, as you want.
No.
Right? I hope that you're constantly being railed. No one does that.
A lot of people, though,
I go to the gym with my son and I hand him off to one of the girls at daycare.
Right.
And she's like, no one goes. She's like a 50-year-old woman. She's very sweet. Hank's like her favorite baby that goes down there. At least she makes me feel that way.
Right.
As soon as he walks up, she goes, "There's my boyfriend. There's my boyfriend." My boyfriend always gives me kisses. And I go, "Oh, that's super cute." Right. But I tried doing that with a baby girl. No dice. My girlfriend gives me kisses.
No dice.
Indeed. Doesn't work. By the way, Hank, classic old school manly name. Well done on that, sir.
His middle name is Hank.
All right.
Just Hank.
Hank
he's
is
actually
awesome.
He's actually named after my girlfriend's father, who was Henricus, who was a Dutch guy, and they called him Hank when he moved over here.
Oh, Henricus.
Okay. Yeah, but we just call him the American spelling H-A-N-K. And his middle name's Lennon because I like the Beatles.
Okay.
And yeah, I think Hank's a tough guy's name.
It is.
No, it's good.
I always think Hank Jeffries, and I think, if I was a girl, would I sleep with that? I'm like, yeah, I would.
That's sure. The main concern when you're naming your son.
He sounds like a guy who could fix things, Hank Jeffries.
Yeah.
Like, if you had a problem, he'd come over, but you couldn't have, you know, he'd move a couch for you, but don't take the piss.
How are you as a father compared to how you thought you'd be before you had a kid?
Well,
you'd be a bad father.
The fathering hasn't started yet, though. Oh, okay. The only thing we've got at the moment is keeping him clean and making sure he doesn't kill himself. Suicide watch is the first. You know,
that's an interesting way to look at 50 months.
You know what I mean? Because it's put that down. Don't put that in there.
Right.
You know, that's all it is.
Okay.
And so there's no real, hey, when you're a man, you
how do you have, think you're going to be at that?
Well, I think I'll personally be great at it, but I think all my back catalogue of stand-up will ruin anything I have to say.
Yeah, he'll be able to see.
Because how am I going to say to my son, "Hey, don't take drugs"? And there is so many times that I have been on stage, it's been recorded, where I've gone, "I take drugs."
Right.
And then, like, how many times am I going to go, "Well, you have to respect women"? How am I going to say that to him? Like, I think you should respect women, and I only say misogynistic things on stage as a joke, but
right.
I don't have a leg to stand on with this kid.
Don't. I hope your wife is strong.
If there's any silver lining, though, Jim, it's that by time he gets old enough to have those conversations, he'll be having them with his new stepfather, so you'll be out of the picture by then.
That's true.
Exactly. I'll probably be dead by then. Yeah. I often think about that. I think, where will that guy live in my house? Where will that be? He'll probably get this part. He'll probably change.
Sure. Yeah, he'll have the
master bedroom.
Well,
it's inevitable. Let's be honest.
Yeah. There's not many comedians who have relationships that last forever.
aren't with a woman named Mavis.
Yeah, I'm trying my best. I'm doing very well at the moment.
Would she say that?
Good for you.
She seems happy enough, you
okay.
know.
Right.
But, like, we're not married. Her mother is...
Oh, I'm sorry. I called her your wife.
Her mother is super religious. And she came over to see the baby. She's come over a couple of times. She lives in Vancouver. So she comes down. She stays in a hotel down the road. And I always go, Mary, we got extra. We got spare rooms here. If you want to stay, come and stay. You're more than welcome to stay. And she goes, I will not stay in this house whilst you two aren't married. And I'm like, more incentive not to get married. You know
that is kind of a weird attitude for people who are living together and have a child together. I mean,
yeah,
that's
don't,
weird.
Don't that threaten me, Mary. like Hank is the youngest of 33 grandchildren for this lady.
Oh
she has seven kids. My girlfriend has a sister who had 11 kids.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's just 33 of them. And Hank is the only illegitimate bastard in the whole lot, right?
Oh, wow.
And she mentioned that to me. She goes, out of 33, he's the only bastard out of the whole group. And I said, and the richest. You know, you gotta put everything in context. I go, I know you're super religious. 1 in 10 people are gay, right? So there's 3 closeted homosexuals at least in that group that you'd be frowning upon. 1 in 100 people are a sociopath. So there's a 1 in 3 chance that one of them's a sociopath. So let's leave this little bastard alone.
He's not doing too bad.
Unless he's all those things and a bastard.
I can't believe she wants you to marry her daughter when you talk to her like that. That's crazy.
Well, you know, you impregnate the people. They get on board, you know.
Exactly. I love that you're calling your son a bastard. That's what I love about you, Jim.
That's
so cute.
My mother said when, because Kate was pregnant during the first season of Legit, and my mother said, what is the name of your television program? And I said, it's called Legit. And she goes, how can you call it Legit when your child is illegitimate?
No, she didn't.
She did. And I went, Mum. And she went, I can't be the only one that thinks that. I'm like, I think you are. I think you're the only person who has drawn that parallel where you've gone, the show's called Legit, the child's illegitimate. That must be what everyone's thinking. I'll tell you a story of my parents. I went and did a gig in Canberra, and I was doing a gig where I was doing this movie, and I was sitting there, and I was in the bar before the gig. So everyone in the audience is about to see me. I'm there with my parents. My mother's talking about how my father's an asshole, vice versa. And my father goes, my mother goes, I just want to have my pension there, social welfare that they have in Australia for elderly. Mm-hmm. He goes, I just want my pension. Your father can have his pension. We'll pay the bills, and then we can spend the rest of our money on what we want. And I said, Mum, you know you can't do that, because my mother ran about 100 grand stuff being brought into the house, right? And she's a bit of a hoarder. So I said, Mum, you know you can't do that because you're not responsible with money and you'll just buy stuff and you've got to live off this cash now. And then she said, I'm not the one who spends all the money now. And I said, oh, okay, fine. She goes, my father goes, tell him what you spend your money on. I said, everything's fine. Let's just shut up. And then you started it. Yeah, and then she goes, your father gets prostitutes. And I went, oh God.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Wow.
And then
you high-five him?
And then I'm just saying, they go, okay, because my fans are sitting around. And I'm there going, can we just shut up now, please? Can we all just shut up? And then she goes, every Wednesday he gets himself a prostitute. And my father does this. He goes, oh, come on. It's not every Wednesday.
That has got to be the most awkward family conversation I've ever heard someone have with his parents. That's unbelievable, Jim.
I'm 37 No. And I appreciate that they acknowledge they haven't had sex with each other for 30 years. So I'm
okay.
I'm cool with him doing just
but
don't
in
tell
front
me.
Of all your fans.
Just shut up.
Right.
And you kind of used that the hoarding thing into a storyline last year with Billy's mom on the show, right?
Well, all female characters are based on my mother, really. The problem with my show is that sometimes reviewers pick up with is that we're not super nice to women. But if you watch the show...
But you're not super nice to anyone.
We're not super nice to anybody.
No.
Yeah, no, we're not super nice to men. The men fall down.
Right.
And also, you'll see me pick up a nice-looking girl in the show, but inevitably, it will always be that I get dumped by that girl. She'll decide I'm a loser. It's never like these girls are still pining for me afterwards or anything like that. But women,
because it's not science fiction. Come on, let's be honest.
Yeah, women in my show are either really like banshee-esque women who are always yelling at you, or they are angels. They are angels sent from heaven. There's not a woman who's just slightly in between.
Angel hookers, though.
Well, I see, we have some hookers in this season.
Oh, you do?
We go
because that's wasn't that the
pilot?
The pilot. But this year we go to, we go to a rub and tug parlor with John Ratzenberg, George Lazenby, so Cliff Clavin and James Bond, and Billy and Steve. So the five of us go, and we all get a rub and tug in a massage parlor, and it's got very thin walls, and we can hear your father, my hear our parents getting you know that type of stuff.
Right?
So to do that, we had to get five Asian girls to play. Now, may I say, after casting TV shows, I feel sorry for Asian actors and actresses.
Really?
There's only two jobs they get in acting. They get prostitute or rocket scientist. No one is just an average
achiever.
Yeah, but it's...
Martial arts?
It's always an overachiever.
Okay.
Someone who's super excellent at something.
That's right.
Or someone who's just wasted their life.
Why can't you just be the lazy roommate who sits on the couch and eats ramen,
yeah,
right? That's what you're asking.
Exactly. Why can't you just be the guy that works in the shop who's super nice, who sells you... Whatever, but not in TV. They've either got to be doctors or prostitutes.
Oh, Jim. You have so many thoughts rattling around in your pretty little head.
Well, the thing is, so,
that's why your TV show is so good.
So we had these girls that came in. They're all very pretty girls. They all came in for the wardrobe fitting the day before. And then I saw this one Asian girl, and she was walking around. And I saw her, and I said, "Hello, you must be one of the prostitutes we ordered." And she said, "No, I'm from film school. I came down here to watch the production." And I went, "Oh,
sorry.
I just stereotyped actresses that look like you."
But, Jim, we are out of time. I'm so sorry, my friend. But let me give all the information again. A bunch of stuff going on in the great Jim Jefferies world, including season 2 of Legit debuting on FXX this Wednesday night. It's the special Loveline episode with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood. It sounds awesome at 10 o'clock on FXX. And by the way, Jim is coming to town at Club Nokia also. That's on Saturday, March 29th. Tickets are available now through AXSAxis.com. If you want to buy that, that's going to be, again, March 29th at Club Nokia. We'll see you again soon. Thanks so much for coming in.
All right. Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 947.
The bad news is it's Monday. The good news is our friend Ralph Garman is back with the Showbiz Beat here on The Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
My mic isn't on.
Hello. My bad.
Really? Did you think maybe we were confused, Kevin? We thought someone else was responsible for turning my microphone on? Did you have to volunteer that information? I think maybe Kat Corbett was to blame for me not having my microphone turned up?
No, it's my bad.
Yeah, I'm letting you know.
I'm telling you that it...
By the fact that the mic was not turned on,
right.
We all knew whose bad it was.
That was my bad, is what
I'm saying. I'm saying no need to volunteer that information.
Right. Now, Ralph, are you... Did you surprise Kevin by coming in and sprinting for a completely different microphone than he's used to?
Oh, no, that's the same mic he uses all the time.
All the time, been here all morning, same microphone.
Yeah.
All been happening.
That's my bad, I'm sorry.
Oh, so it was your fault.
I'm claiming that one.
Oh, that was
so at this time,
you.
Right. At this time, every hour, most weeks of the year,
right.
For 15 years, you've turned on that mic, and
Correct.
Then today you thought, eh, I've turned it on enough.
Yeah. You know what the first clue was?
What?
That I was sitting in front of the microphone.
Yeah.
With the headphones on. And the song ended.
Did I look at you?
You absolutely did.
Okay,
yes.
I did.
So,
all right.
Should have been...
my bad then.
So, once again, Kevin's bad. So the thing that Kevin didn't do, that's Kevin's responsibility.
My bad. I'm saying it. I'm owning it.
All right. Enough of the jocularity. It is bad
Fire
news.
Fire beer mug.
Okay, fine. As long as somebody gets fired. Is Don on the phone? My first day back. Don and I need to sit down and have a conversation. Because this is the reason I left last week.
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't. I was working.
Yes.
Working hard. By the way, speaking of which, I want to thank everyone involved with the television program Quick Draw, which is on Hulu. Many of you watched last season. Very, very funny show. I did an episode of the show last season. They brought me back, brought my character back to do a return engagement for the second season. That is yet to air, but will be soon. What a great group of people, and could not be nicer. Everyone from Nancy Hauer and John Lehrer, the creators of that show, to everyone at Hulu. It's just a blast to make because it's a Western. It's a period Western. It takes place in the 1800s. And I got this week to do, for the first time ever, my first big stunt fight.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you say, "I'm a drawing on you"?
No, I didn't say, "I'm a drawing on you."
I don't know.
It was a fist fight. It was a choreographed stunt fist fight. And we had a buckboard, and we had horses, and we pulled up, and we got the bushwhacked, and two guys jump out of the brush, and there's a big fist fight altercation between me and another character.
I like it.
It was a blast. It was like being in your backyard as a kid playing cowboys and Indians. It was that kind of joy and fun that took place for it.
Awesome.
And it was awesome, and the stunt guys were amazing, and they were very kind to me. And when it was all over, the stunt coordinator said to me, "I know a lot of guys who call themselves stuntmen who can't stage fight as well as you did.
But you
great
box,
job today,
right?
It helped, but it doesn't really
you know, not the same. Hitting something versus not hitting something and fake hitting something is a different thing, but I think it did help me a little bit.
Sure.
The reason I bring it up, though, is because I'm going to need a body cast.
What?
Everything hurts.
Oh, is that right?
My knees hurt, my elbows hurt, my ribs hurt, I got something out in my neck. I'm walking around like a freaking zombie today. I don't know what's wrong, but all weekend long I've just been paralyzed. That's what important
that's why actors
I'm
don't
in.
Do that.
I guess that's why they have people do it.
Yeah.
But I said, if it hurts this much not fighting, what does it feel like if you get into a real fight like this and just get beat up? So if I'm acting strangely, it's because I can't move. But
and I thought about that watching the Ronda Rousey fight on Saturday night. I mean, she was in there for a minute six, but even when she walked out, her face was just all swollen, you know, and pink. I mean, just it only takes a few seconds to hurt.
Yes. So I'm in pain, and I'm also in emotional pain this morning because this. A lot of people pass away in the showbiz business, and it doesn't really affect you that much. This one stings.
Oh, this is horrible.
Because this guy is responsible for many people in my generation, especially what we think of as comedy, certainly movie comedy. Director, writer, actor Harold Ramis has passed away.
Oh, really?
At the age of 69.
69 is young, isn't it?
He's a young guy, yeah. He was suffering from an autoimmune inflammatory disease that involved the swelling of the blood vessels in his body. It was a vasculitis.
Oh, my God.
And the complications got so severe, they eventually took his life.
Wow.
This morning. And he was in Chicago, where he grew up and moved back to, even after he was a star in Hollywood. He moved back to Chicago in the late 90s to be there, but he loved that city so much. But I can't overstate what his impact was on comedy in film for the past, 30 years. Starting with one of his first screenwriting credits was National Lampoon's Animal House. So he helped.
I mean,
write
if you'd
that.
Just done that, you'd be a comedy legend.
Stripes, of course.
All right, so those two.
He wrote that. Ghostbusters, which he also co-starred in. Directed Caddyshack. Directed Vacation, National Lampoon's Vacation. Groundhog Day. Analyzed This. Wrote Meatballs. Just. I mean, it's hard to overstate how great he was. And by all accounts, what a great guy he was. And as kind and giving and helpful to performers and other writers and other directors alike. If he just did Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyway, sad news that he passed away. And I was a fan of his way back in the days when he was just a performer in Second City. He did a show called the Second City Televisions, SCTV. It was on in the late 70s. He was very funny on that show as a performer as well. But it influenced an entire generation of guys who went on to work in comedy movies like Judd Apatow and Peter Farrelly and Jake Kasdan, a lot of those guys. So, sad news. It was funny, though. He worked with Belushi, of course, in Animal House, but got to know him working in Second City in Chicago with Belushi. And he said at that moment, when he shared the stage for the first time with John Belushi, he said, "I knew I wouldn't be a huge comedy star when I got on stage with John Belushi. When I saw how far he was willing to go to get a laugh or make a point on stage, how language he would use, how physical he was, literally throwing himself off the stage, falling, strangling other actors, I thought, I'm never going to be as big as this guy. How can I carve out my own niche? And he ended up being the low-key wisecracker in all those films. Remember, he would just like sit back and then just drop in one of those very dry lines that would just destroy you.
I love that.
Brilliant performer, writer, and director. So he
that sucks.
He'll be missed at the age of 69. It is Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Someone has sent me an email today. I never got this complaint before, but it dawned on me. Maybe I should alter my behavior. I'm not too proud to change.
What?
He said, "Why do you always talk about the biggest grossing film of the weekend first? Why don't you work your way up from 10 to 1 instead of announcing what the biggest movie was first?" Does that bother anyone else?
No.
No. I think it makes more sense to start with what the biggest weekend. I mean,
that's
the
biggest news, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I would think.
No, but you build to it,
right?
I mean, is this guy excited about bronze medalists in the Olympics?
I guess so. I'm not sure. I never had that complaint. He was very, very passionate about it. Who does that? He asked me. I guess I do.
You have for a long time.
For a long time. All right. I'm not changing that. Right. Screw him.
He's down on the phone.
Get down on the phone. Top movie at the box office this weekend, The Lego Movie, continues its stranglehold on the box office, $31.5 million.
Yeah, whatever. What was number 15?
Made it number one this weekend. 3 Days to Kill in its debut, $12.3 million, made it number two. Pompeii was third. RoboCop and The Monuments Men were the top five. About Last Night, Ride Along,
Frozen, Endless Love, and A Winter's Tale round out the rest of the top 10 of the box office this weekend.
I'm saddened at the passing of Harold Ramis, but more saddened that Bieber is still living.
Yeah.
It's a double whammy when you realize a good one was taken and a bad one remains. But Justin's feelings, rather, are hurt.
Oh, no!
Yeah, he wants us to know that.
No! Mm-hmm. Oh, no!
It's bad enough the petition went to the White House to try to deport him. But then it was too much during the Olympics when all those internet memes were showing up with the photo of the U.S. versus Canada in the hockey game saying that the bet was loser keeps Bieber.
Yeah.
That tore it. That was it. That forced him to take to Twitter to defend himself. I guess I'm an easy target for some, he wrote about that picture that was circulating on the internet last week. I'm still human. I will continue to meet hate with love. It's all about the music. Much love.
What about the fact that he's a dick?
Yeah, he didn't mention that. He did not address that.
All right.
That issue. But he did also release a musical response to everyone. Justin's new song, along with rapper Blake Kelly, just dropped today. Broken is the name of it. In such lyrics as, I guess they want a reaction, I ain't going to give it to them. He addresses those of us who make fun of him, saying, I cannot be broken, like I know you were hoping.
That's not a rhyme.
He also can't be rhyming.